If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Just let rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
You know, he's a brother. With most brothers, you know how it is in this country. We got to struggle, man. You know what I'm saying?
You said someone's toking some reefer.
No, I mean, I said somebody smelled some pot. An observation?
Oh, an observation, huh? Well, who the hell are you, man? Isaac f***ing Newton? Well, guess what, genius? I'm the one smoking marijuana, motherfucker. You got a problem with that?
No, of course not.
Well, why'd you say that, chief? So I'm blazing with my friends, so I'm a f***ing pothead, man. What's it to you, huh?
Where did you learn language like that? The television?
No one has the right to subject listeners to vulgarity of any nature, and profanity is strictly forbidden. Remember that there are many young people operating radios under the guidance of their parents.
What a dork!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed!
Roll another one, just like the other one.
Marijuana is delicious.
This one seems to be about to quit, and I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Oh, those blacks.
Roll another one.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
Munchies.
I don't have another cent.
We're gonna smoke some pot tonight. Hot night, hot night.
Smoke weed.
Just pass it around. But don't bother that joint, my friend.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
And now.
Now, every time that I am sick, a big fat doobie does the trick. I find my bong and suck it till I'm well.
Our feature presentation.
Anyway, I got a song coming up that you might have heard on a TV commercial.
Rodney.
Remember, I used to hang out with them at Canner's with Kelly. Mm-hmm. Kelly Ogden at Canner's, and now they're doing TV commercials. Okay. Featured in the Kohl's commercial. If you check that out, it's been on TV a lot. You could see different girl groups playing that song with Kelly in the audience, and Kelly's up there singing with the Dolly Rots, and it's on TV. You could see that on television.
Okay, so it's on TV.
Wait, is it's it? On TV? Is Are that where sure? we can find it? Is on television?
I don't know. Because
you didn't mention.
I don't know where to find it.
He's so vague. That's his problem.
Exactly. Not enough information, Rodney. Come on.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday the 10th of...
August.
Lisa, it's the 10th of what?
August.
Okay.
I think well I have done. A little more feeling.
I do too.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Okay. Thank you. I like same. August. It's You're dressed one of my up. Favorite months.
Who's coming in? You're dressed up.
It's for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's for you. Yeah.
Do you have a date after the show, Lisa? You trying to work in a nooner? What's going on
I
here?
I have a little something going on later.
See who's coming in. I don't see anyone.
Daryl Hammond.
Daryl Hammond, yeah. Hammond.
But I don't but think I'm dressed up for him.
That's not it. Don't
Quite
think
honestly,
that's it.
That's not it.
That's not it. Okay. Just
no,
checking.
No, I think she's having lunch at a hotel is what I think.
Ah.
Isn't that the best Friday afternoon
I
you
like
can imagine?
It.
Little room service.
I wouldn't know.
Little
hey, congratulations to our friend Ralph Garman, by the way. Perfectly, perfectly played. Thursday, you're at work all day long. Everything's great. Fine, fine, fine. No indication anything's wrong. 5 minutes before it's time to go home, you go, all right, I got something coming on. Boom! It's a free ticket to Friday off.
Can you hurry up the meeting? I think I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. He was, his stomach was upset. He was feeling horrible most of yesterday, Bean. Here's what I like about Bean. Nobody actually takes a day off because they're sick in Bean's mind. It just doesn't happen.
I'm suspect. That's all I'm saying.
Especially when
it's on a Friday. Especially when it's on a Friday. You got to admit, that raises a red flag.
He's an actor.
I mean, you got to look at the person. Ralph's not the kind of guy that just takes a day off because he just feels like it.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's true.
Like Kevin, like when he took his day off last week, and by the way, today was supposed to be my day to come in late, but clearly now I can't because Ralph's gone. When Kevin, faked his day off last week, it was like on a Wednesday or something like that.
Wednesday,
which was a lot more realistic. I mean, you look at a Wednesday and go, well, who's taking a Wednesday off? You know what I mean?
And still, Bean wrote me an email that said, how was Vegas?
Exactly.
It's just, in his mind, it's just not possible to call in sick. You have to be faking.
That's my theory, yes.
Wow. You're rough.
That's not a very good theory, dude.
People get sick. You get sick.
But how often do I call in sick?
Bean works sick most of the time.
He does.
And I work sick most of the time, too.
But occasionally, Bean, you have not come to work because you were too sick.
Or you went to Vegas because you loved going to Vegas.
I can't remember the last time, but I'm just saying it just seemed suspect. That's all I'm saying.
It's not suspect at all.
So, Ralph, if you're on your way to Vegas right now and you're listening to us, well played.
Good.
That's all I'm saying.
By the way, don't you see Ralph as the type of guy who is, if he really wanted to take the day off today because he was fed up with stuff, would have walked up to you and said, hey, guys, F you. I'm not coming in tomorrow.
Of course.
I'm just tired and I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, I don't see him going through the trouble of making stuff up. He'd just say,
yeah,
I've had enough.
I'm the one who would lie because I would want you to still like me.
Yes, Lisa.
I'm not feeling well.
I'm sorry, Nick was here.
I'm not feeling well.
Because England is sick.
I have a sneeze. Perhaps I'll stay home or go see a play.
But this is also not like a normal job either. And it's bad in one way because if you don't feel well, it's a lot of energy to put out.
It's really hard to get through a morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
But I think we're all right with Ralph.
Okay. All right.
But Ralph's on your way to Vegas. Well played.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's the only thing I'm saying.
All right.
I'm just saying if, then well played. That's all.
All right. Let's talk about today's. I had one question for you. I'm on my way in and I see Highway Patrol. Why do people slow down below the speed limit? When the Highway Patrol is there?
I don't know.
Below.
You should still be able to go 70,
The Highway
frankly.
Patrol is going 60.
He's going 60?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And almost all of the cars are going slower than that because they think if, God forbid, they go 65, he's going to pull them over.
You know, I don't do this, but I have heard, I don't know where, that if they're going 60, you shouldn't pass them. Like, there's a reason why they're going that speed. I don't do it. I go 70 because they don't pull you over for anything.
Right. I mean, you could go 65. Nobody's going to pull you over. But everybody's scared to death.
I have heard that before, yeah.
If I were Highway Patrol, I would totally just play up on that. I mean, I would go 45 and just watch how many people.
Everyone would slow down.
Everybody slows down.
Yeah.
Below the speed limit sometimes. Going, dude, at least go 55.
Why does Highway Patrol go that slow?
I don't know.
Because they know what they're doing.
I don't know.
I'd like to say that officially the traffic is now starting to get to Kevin because every single day now he's coming in and complaining about something about the driving. Well, yesterday and today, yeah. I mean, it is frustrating. There's no question that driving with that many cars all the time is frustrating. Believe me, no one understands how it gets to you more than I do. I hate it. But it sounds like it's starting to wear you down too, Kevin.
I do feel better now, though, because I'm starting to carry a shotgun, and I think that's going to make things better.
You feel empowered?
That helps.
I don't even have to squeeze the trigger. You just got to point it at people, and they love it.
That's true.
Get right out of the way, I bet you that.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Friday morning, so we're going to take a look at the movie beat and tell you about all the new movies in the theaters.
Okay.
This is Rush Hour 3 Day, I think, right?
I think so.
Yes.
I like those movies.
I do, too. I back you up.
Really?
I think they're funny.
I thought I'd be alone on that one.
Nope.
Also on the show today, we have Daryl Hammond, like we were saying. Mm-hmm. He's doing some stand-up at the Improv. He'll be in the studio. We have Les Stroud, who's the host of Survivor Man on the Discovery Channel. He's starting a new season tonight. And that show, I don't know if you've seen it or not, it's kind of the same thing as the Bear Grylls show, which is...
Only real.
Wild.
What is it called?
Man vs. Wild.
Man vs. Wild, right. Yeah, they go out, but Les Stroud brings his own camera. He's the only guy out there, and he survives for like a week on berries and,
cow poo. I don't know what how they do it, but it's one of those shows, and it's really fascinating. And I have to ask him, if he's eaten so little, how is he so fat? And also, he's not really that fat, but you'd think he would be
bone thin, yeah. Right?
Well, I think he's out filming the show for a few weeks, and then he also has a regular life where he probably eats regular food. It's not like he lives in the tundra. He just goes there to film.
All right. Also on today's show, we have the host of Human Weapon on the History Channel.
Everyone's talking about this show.
This guy is crazy. These guys go around the world. They find different styles of fighting and people who've been doing it their whole lives, and then they'll train for like a week and then take them on.
Yeah.
In whatever form it is, and it's just nuts.
And then lose.
They almost always lose, but at least they put out a good show. I mean,
they
don't get destroyed, which they should. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a fascinating show on the History Channel. We talked to Flea yesterday from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We'll give you some highlights of that just after 6, if you missed that. And can I talk about the battle?
Oh, yeah. Dude, are you
kidding
me? It's
on, right?
If it was up to me, you could be running banners in the sky.
Armenian comedian has stirred up a hornet's nest, and he doesn't even want to know what's waiting for him on today's show.
I can't wait for this.
Psycho Mike did Brow Down, and then the Armenian comedian got angry and did an answer song. Today, Mike fires back.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. In the 6 o'clock hour.
So Mexicans versus Armenians.
That's
on.
Correct. It's on.
Race war.
Race war.
My money's on.
It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody.
All right.
It's going down. Shit is going down.
Mike, you're not threatening to kick the ass of the guest next hour, the fighting guy? What's up with that? You're slowing down, dude.
I like him. I like him, and I like what he does, and he's a good-looking man. I don't want to ruin that for him. He has a career based on the fact that he's handsome, and I don't want to mess that up.
We are talking to Jason Chambers from The Human Weapon. That's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, plus the debut of the new answer song to the Armenian comedian's answer song to Brow Down. That's all coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. Here's an update on the Pearl Jam story that we told you about late in the day yesterday. You know, they were one of the headliners for Lollapalooza in Chicago this weekend, and our friends over at AT&T Blue Room simulcast a lot of the show, including their set. You ever watch those? They do a great job with those.
Yeah. Mm.
Those concerts. I watched that White Stripe show recently, that album release White Stripe show they did. I mean, they really, you know, it's professionally shot, and it's you're sitting at home watching a concert. You can't get into it. It's pretty awesome. But there was a little bit of controversy because Eddie did something on stage when they're doing the song Daughter. They kind of did a little bit of a medley where they were singing the hook to the Pink Floyd Another Brick in the Wall song.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And instead of We Don't Need No Education, they were singing George Bush Leave This World Alone, George Bush Find Yourself a Home. Well, it didn't make it to the webcast. It happened on stage, but somehow, between when they sang it and when we watched it at home, that part was censored out. And Pearl Jam, of course, you know, they're big into the First Amendment. They put a note on their website that they were troubled as artists and citizens. They're concerned with issues of censorship and the increasingly consolidated control of the media. AT&T has now answered back and said, that should not have been edited out. These lyrics in no way, shape, or form are something that should have been edited. They say it was a major mistake by the webcast vendor. It was contrary to their policy. It is not an AT&T decision. It was somewhere else in the chain where that did not make it to the home viewer.
I am very relieved to hear that.
So what, somebody at the venue or something just decided they didn't like it? Or?
Well, they said a major mistake by a webcast vendor, which leads me to believe that it's someone in the chain you know, that gets it to the broadcast. You know, we have a bunch of people between who's filming it and who uploads it,
right,
or, you know, who allows it to stream. So I don't know how something like that was done if in fact the performance was live. I don't know how it was done. You know, a lot of times with those shows with a lot of bands, they time shift a little bit and you're not seeing it exactly live as it happens. So maybe someone had a chance to edit it. But so far we don't know who's responsible for it. But I agree with Lisa. It's nice that AT&T at least is coming out and saying, yeah, we're not trying to censor the artists regardless
nice.
Of what their message is.
That was a little scary, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Everybody has jury duty. I mean, everyone. Everybody that breathes has jury duty.
How dare you?
Brad Pitt's been putting it off for a while, but then he showed up for jury duty, and he was kind of waiting during the day, and they settled the case that he was going to be a juror on.
Oh, no kidding.
You, Matt, don't you think that would kind of throw you off? You see Brad Pitt in the jury box?
I have seen instances where they have sent, you know, the mayor or somebody home because they say it's just too distracting to the case because people are concentrating on looking at the person in the jury box rather than listening to the testimony.
Brad Pitt's one of the biggest stars in the world. I can't imagine that, you know, person would be on the stand, they'd be cross-examination, you'd be crying, you'd look over to Brad and go, hey, Brad, how's it going?
I think they always make them show up for jury duty because they shouldn't be excused.
Right.
But then they dismiss them. They never put them on a trial.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, you would never see a celebrity actually in a jury. You're right about that.
That'd be awesome.
It was a DUI case, and the guy pled no contest. So Brad really did serve his duty. But by the way, before we get all, before we look at Brad with you know, so happy about him doing his civic duty. Yeah, he tried to get out of it. I mean, he dodged it, you know, many, many times. And he was at the point where they said, if you don't show up next time, you're going to be held in contempt of court.
Yeah, I've been there.
So he was pretty much forced to show, as it turned out.
Is there like an adjudicating board that decides who's a big enough celebrity to not do jury duty? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of weird. You have to walk that line. Like, what if
Johnny
Knoxville comes in? Does he have to be on a jury, or is Brad Pitt a big enough star that...
Well, it's the lawyers on the cases who decide who gets to be on the jury or not, and they generally won't let anybody like that on, just because Bean said it's too distracting.
I want Johnny Knoxville on a jury, by the way. He'll let anything slide.
But they do make him go and sit in that room for a day.
Oh, yeah.
With everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Once in a while, I'll be watching a show, and I'll see some really fat guy or some really ugly chick, and I'll think, boy, are they lucky that there are always going to be roles for those sorts of people. You have to have some people other than the good-looking celebrities in movies and TV shows, right? There always has to be people to play those roles, right?
Sure.
And if you're willing to be the fat guy, there's work in it for you, if you could act, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I started thinking about when I saw the open casting call is going to be held starting this weekend for the new film Notorious. They're making a movie about the Notorious B.I.G.
Oh.
So if you've always wanted to be into acting and you're a big, fat, black guy and you're not big boy, now there's a role for you.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah. That'd be a pretty cool, gig, you know?
Although I have seen the end of that story, and it won't end well for you. I mean, you know.
But, it's not a happy story?
No.
If this movie is any good, this is the kind of role that can really get you some notice. But if you're interested, if you think you can rap and you look like Biggie, you can go to BiggieCasting.com, BiggieCasting.com, and they're accepting videos starting this weekend for a movie that is directed by a man named George Tillman. He's behind Soul Food, which was an actual real movie that was in theaters, and Men of Honor. So there's an opening for you,
is
what she said.
The TMZ cameras are everywhere.
Oh,
certainly.
Yeah.
You can't breathe without the TMZ cameras there. They were in Alpharetta, Georgia, at Joe's Crab Shack, when Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston showed up and had dinner.
No kidding.
Joe's Crab Shack told TMZ that Whitney and Bobby, quote, sat at table 103 and had a good time.
Really?
They are like, this is a pretty bad divorce they're going through, right?
Yes. But the picture, the reason I bring it up is because I want you to go to TMZ.com and look at the picture. Both of them look baked out of their minds. Neither of them can you see their even see their eyes.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I want whatever they have because that looks like they're really having a good time.
Oh, my God.
Was it just last night they went? Because remember, yesterday was Whitney's birthday. I wonder if that was the occasion that they got together.
I think it was Tuesday. But
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't do a showbiz beat on K-Rock without a Lindsay Lohan story, and this one is a sad one. Tony Almeida, who was Lindsay's hired hand, a former bodyguard for 3 years, mm-hmm. did an interview this week with In Touch magazine, and really is kind of placing a lot of the blame on where Lindsay went wrong on her parents. I mean, I don't think any of us are surprised to find that out. They say that Dean and Michael Lohan treated their daughter as a cash cow to pay their bills and accuses them of exposing their children to a life of physical, emotional, and drug abuse. Some of the highlights include Tony claims he had to run interference when Michael once dragged Lindsay out of a car, threw her on the hood, and called her a slut.
Nice.
He was there for that. He pulled the dad off of her. He also claims that at Lindsay's sweet 16th birthday party, she began drinking whatever she wanted, and it was okay with the parents if she had sleepovers with her ex-boyfriend Aaron Carter starting at 15 years old. Because he was, you know, a big star, and it was good for her image and good for her career, so go ahead and be with him if you want.
What the hell?
By the time Lindsay was legal, Tony says she moved on to drugs, and she cried out for help by cutting herself and threatening suicide. I mean, it's just an ugly scene here.
Wow.
And
that's disturbing.
The end is near.
New York Page 6 reporting the story says they tried to reach people, you know, around Lindsay, including her parents. No response so far. But, I mean, here's a guy who was side by side with her for 3 years. You know, I don't know much about how truthful he is or if he's just trying to make a buck, but... You know, he certainly was an eyewitness to a lot of stuff, that's for sure.
I can't believe he didn't sign some sort of agreement where he wouldn't speak.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been following this story or not, but it is a bizarre story about a plastic surgeon in Texas named...
Oh, is this the Anna Nicole?
Dr. Gerald Wayne Johnson.
I haven't heard.
According to the paperwork in court, He videotaped breast augmentation surgery. She was getting a boob job.
Anna?
He taped it without anyone knowing, and now he's trying to peddle it. He's trying to sell it.
Oh, God.
And a judge in California has finally just said, not now, not yet, or whatever. We need to make sure that it's legal and all
an
that
injunction.
Kind of stuff. But apparently this doctor and the dude in California that's trying to sell it supposedly went in 50-50, and we're just going to try and cash in.
Oh, my God.
I don't like my body.
I don't know how many people would want to see that.
I don't either.
Her getting a boob job? But maybe it's the before pictures. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just her boobs or whatever. But I don't think I would want to watch the surgery. But that's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard, is a plastic surgeon allegedly taping and trying to sell the tape.
That is creepy.
Well, here's the deal. This doctor, for his own protection, videotapes all of his surgeries and promises to keep them private, you know, respect the patient-doctor confidentiality while the person is alive.
Unless you're famous. Oh, I see. While they're alive.
While the person is alive.
That's bogus.
He tapes them so that when they come back and try to sue him for malpractice, he can say, well, I can show you the surgery and you can see for yourself that it was on the up and up, you know? And now he got lucky because one of these strippers that he did the implants for turned out to be Anna Nicole Smith, and now he feels like he's sitting on a cash cow. But they can't let him sell that. That's got to be certainly unethical, but
yeah,
it has to be illegal somewhere, doesn't it?
Well, the judge stepped in and said, you're not selling it yet, so they're going to battle it out.
That is disturbing, because that means that one day you could see my labia enlargement.
I would like to see.
Well, all right,
just,
then.
There it would be for the public.
If your doctor is listening.
That has to be legal.
That's what I'm saying.
That should be legal.
Way
legal,
yeah.
Next hour, got a great story about The Cure, got a new Paris Hilton story driving teenagers to tears, and what does Justin Timberlake have to do with shark sex? All that coming up next hour in the Showbiz Beat. First, though, today's celebrity birthday is Antonio Banderas, who really is a better voiceover actor than he is an actor in front of the camera.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
He, of course, from the Shrek movies, is 47 years old today. One of the acting Arquettes, Rosanna, is 48 years old today. And you mentioned Bobby Brown earlier. His old friend, Michael Bivins, from New Edition and Bev DeVoe. I was really more of a DeVoe fan.
What was the name of that band?
Bev, Biv, and DeVoe?
Bell,
Biv, DeVoe. Sorry.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
Jeez, even I know that.
I do, too. Just got it mixed up. Michael Bivins is 39 years old today, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
The Pretenders on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 24 minutes after 6. What?
That's actually Foo Fighters is the band right there. The song is called The Pretender, though, so you're close. You're close.
I got to tell you, I don't know how to say this. I don't know how much we're supposed to give away, but we have some concert details on Monday.
Okay.
Spin Doctors.
And I can't give too much away, but this time of year we usually throw a show that rhymes with Schminland in Schmasian.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
And
it's pretty vague. It's pretty vague. People may not get it, but okay, I see where you're going. I like it.
And things are changing this year a bit, and we have details on Monday morning.
Okay,
Monday morning.
Jason Chambers, star of Human Weapon on the History Channel, coming up in about 15 minutes. Funny man Daryl Hammond, too, just after 7 o'clock. He's got some stand-up in town. He's always very entertaining. First, though, we got to take care of some serious, serious business here.
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! Shit is going down!
I feel our own Biggie and Tupac.
I do, too. You might think after yesterday's show that it's some sort of fallout from the Axe of Black segment that we debuted. But no, everybody's cool with that. Nobody has any problems. But apparently the Mexicans versus the Armenians is the battle that continues to grow.
It's not so much the Mexicans versus the Armenians as it is the Armenian comedian and Mike. Psycho Mike.
Yeah, it's pretty much just him. That's true.
So Psycho Mike first got Ashton Kutcher to do this song.
Glendale's my town. Brown-am. I love System of a Down. Brown-am. Because I'm Armenian, bro. Covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe.
Apparently Sam, the Armenian comedian, heard that, was very upset with
that.
Now, I'm not sure what that means. It must be insulting, though. Because Sam got really mad.
It is.
You can't say those things about us Armenians. He was just all upset because apparently Armenians aren't hairy, don't live in Glendale, and don't drive BMWs and have cell phones. Apparently none of that is true. So that's why he was offended by that song. So it wasn't enough to just call and berate Mike for it. He had to go into the studio and come back with his own answer song.
Glendale! Every time I do it,
the mic. You flamed the rock reporter. And then you came over here picking up strawberries, sending money to the Mexico. What else you doing? Grabbing a job around the Home Depot.
Okay, see, so now what he's doing is he's claiming that Psycho Mike, probably, and all Mexicans in Sam's mind, have come across the border illegally, swimming, right.
Yes.
Picking strawberries and working at Home Depot. That's his fire back.
Right.
Although what's fantastic about that is Mike, born in this country, actually has a good job at a professional radio station, which Sam would love to be doing, and Sam, of course, a forwarder.
As a contractor and a general backer and a gardener, all you do is landscaping. Oh, you didn't get enough landscaping in Mexico. You're trying to make a better in landscaping. I am better in technology. I can sell you a car. Okay. I can sell you jewelry. I can sell you all kinds of mansion in Glendale.
Okay, now we don't know what any of that was because we don't speak Sam. But apparently, Mike, you've decided it's time to shoot back. Is that correct?
Look, I'm not going to lie. Even though there's no verb noun agreement at all in Sam's song,
right?
When he got into the flute solo, like I felt a little bit woozy the first time he played. Like it hit me hard. He rocked. Yeah. Like I was getting lightheaded and weak in the knees, and I was like, man,
he did rock you.
He got me deep. It was a soul crushing blow.
Right.
So now I got to come back.
You're just going to escalate things, man.
Oh, I don't mind.
This is going to turn the Palestinians and the Israelis, man.
My back's to the wall.
But wouldn't you be
emails.
A bigger man to just walk away, though, and just call it a draw? Why do you have to hit back?
We need to get Condi Rice
on the phone and get her over here.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to take the high road, I thought. But I got so many emails and phone calls, and I stopped on the street by all my brown, you know, my people. You know, La Raza was upset. That I was going to take that from Sam, you know, and they felt like...
How do they know what that was? They couldn't understand what he said.
They felt like they were being insulted by Sam the Armenian Comedian, not just me,
okay.
The Mexican culture as a whole here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
You know, so I had to come back strong with Party Like an Armo.
Party Like an Armo.
Yeah.
Now this is your answer song to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And instead of the Shop Boys... Party Like a Rock Star. This is the Cell Phone Shop Boys. Party Like an Armo. And I got to say is I hope Sam the Armenian Comedian has some like painkillers ready.
Should he be sitting down?
If he's listening to this, his eardrums might just blow out his head and blood coming from all his orifices.
Should he be sitting down or laying down?
He might as well just kill himself.
Okay.
Like instead of just lie down, just eat a gun now.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna serve him with this.
All right, here you go. Party Like an Armo.
Yeah! You know how we do it in 818? Straight up hairy, covered in jewelry and cologne!
Party like an Armo, 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 party like an Armo.
The ladies, they love my Mercedes.
We just some hairy monsters that we rolling round Glendale, seeing how many cell phones that we can sell. 85 Benz, rolling 20-inch rims, and there's fur covering all four limbs, cause we hairy. 818 is my hood. I use 20 gallons of cologne and still don't smell good, cause my breath smells like King Kong's balls. But my balls look like two chia pets covered in jewelry, because we
party like an Armo, 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 party like an Armo. Jewelry, and tabbouleh. Gold chain around my neck, gold bracelets on my wrist. Uni brow across my forehead and rings up on my fist. Slicking back my hair, tucking in my silk shirt. Finding girls with the big noses so I can stop and flirt. Smoking cigarettes and grilling the kebab. If you break me off some hummus, then I'll give you baklava. Just another Sasquatch and Hugo Boss cologne. I'll be rocking BMWs and 15 cell phones. Cause we
party like an Armo, 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 party like an Armo.
That's right, Cell Phone Shop Boys 07 up in your grill, bitch. Recognize 818 Glendale. Done.
Nicely done.
It's on.
It is on.
I got that. Fuck yeah.
Our guest right now, though, has one of the coolest nicknames in the world. How'd you like to be known as the human weapon? I mean, how awesome is that? Of course, the star of the hit program on the History Channel, airing again tonight at 10 o'clock. We're going to welcome Jason Chambers to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Here's the intro for Human Weapon for those who have not seen it. It kind of explains what goes on.
Over the centuries, the human body has evolved into a precise machine. Some have taken this precision further, honing their bodies into deadly weapons. Now, two men, Jason Chambers and Bill Duff, are traveling the globe, pitting themselves against ancient knowledge and lethal techniques in a quest to understand the human weapon.
So basically what you do is you travel around the world and you go to people who are the masters in the field of fighting that they have chosen, and you work on it for a couple of weeks, then get into a ring with them.
Pretty much, yeah. If anybody wants to punch us in the face, they can just send a letter to the History Channel.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea for someone else, but a bad idea for me, I'll tell you.
You're right, yeah.
Where did...
We study different martial arts, where they evolved. We train for about a week, 8-9 days if we're lucky, and at the end we get thrown to the wolves.
Now, Jason, you have an MMA background, right?
Yeah, I've had 22 professional MMA fights. Been doing martial arts for about 14 years, and I had my first pro fight in 98. So this is kind of a good mixture for me. Get to go around the world, get beat up by everybody, not just people in the U.S.
And you have a partner, Bill Duff, a former professional football player. Who did he play for?
You know, Bill played for a few different teams. He played for, I believe he played for the Cleveland Browns. I think he played for the 49ers for a little bit, and then some of the XFL teams.
Okay.
So so you two basically go, I saw the Muay Thai, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Muay Thai.
Yeah, I saw that one along with others. But you go to these places where these people have been doing this particular thing all their lives, and you train for a week.
Dude, how crazy am I, huh?
Well, it's not smart, I'll give you that. I mean,
I'm telling you. I told my mom what I was doing. She's like, no, seriously, what are you going to do? I'm like, oh, yeah, She's like, you're just going to get beat up by everybody.
But as a guy who has been competitive with martial arts, you know, since you were a little kid, one of the things you learn is to understand your enemies, to know your enemy, know what you're up against, and you kind of know going in that you're outmatched, that you're probably not going to win, right?
Right, yeah, kind of going in outmatched is really putting it lightly.
Yeah,
like you said, our training their whole lives, and we kind of hop in, and, you know, we don't want to endeavor to fool the audience because we're not going to pick things up in a week that are going to make us really competitive with these masters, but a lot of it's just the skill set that we have. Bill being, you know, 300 pounds, 6'4", he can hang with just about anyone that you put in front of him because there's not a lot of dudes that are just massive like Bill unless he fought Shrek. Other than that, you know, I hop in there and I'm a little faster, and I endeavor to pick things up, you know, as quick as I can in order to survive.
So both of you train the whole time, right? And then at the end, you decide who's going to fight. How do you decide that?
We flip a coin. Yeah, it's really a complicated process.
Excellent.
No, usually, paper, scissors.
Yeah, it's great. No, usually it comes down to whichever one of us is less sore or injured. I mean, there's been just about every show, one of us is like, man, I messed up my shoulder when we were training, or, you know, a lot of it's just lost in communication when we start sparring with people in foreign lands, and they're going at one level, or, you know, we don't have protective gear because we're in the middle of a rice paddy, and we, you know, break a finger or we twist an ankle, and that injuries are just so common on our show.
And you had a lot of stuff broken inside and out, right, in your body?
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, from my mixed martial art career, you know, just taking the separated shoulders, the broken ankles, the, you know, the torn MCLs that I've had in the past just in going into the show and then training, you know, sometimes we're working 14, 15, 16-hour days, and, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere. So if you get injured and you're in the middle of a rice paddy in Cebu, you're probably going to be SOL for a little while.
Yeah, no kidding.
How many different kinds of fighting styles are there around the world? Because the stuff that you come up with, I mean, you know, the Eskrima stick fighting, for instance, is stuff that most of us have never even heard of.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of styles. I mean, I think when we sat down and looked at how many seasons we could possibly get out of this, I think we came up with about 60 or 70 different styles. You know, a lot of the styles begin to look similar. You know, Muay Thai starts to look like kickboxing, which starts to look like savate. But, you know, all these different styles, what's cool about them, outside of the physicality and what they're doing with, you know, the different punches, is how they evolve, because none of the styles have the same backstory to them. So that's kind of neat. And then just to see how different people train these styles are different.
Now, what's the savate? You're working on that one now? Or that's tonight's episode?
Yeah, savate's tonight's episode. It's French foot fighting is what it translates into. And it's something that the French created, and it started on the ships in the ports in, like, Marseille, and they had to use their feet a lot because they were holding on to, like, the ropes and out of the ship because of balance. And it started as actually a game to see who had the best balance.
So they use predominantly only their feet?
Yeah, heavily, you know, they use the foot a lot in spot because they wear shoes. So their kicks are kind of angled to use the tip of the foot, the bottom of the foot. But they do use their hands, too. But you see a lot more kicks than you would in, like, a Muay Thai or a, you know, American kickboxing match.
Fascinating. Hey, if you're just joining us, Jason Chambers is the voice on the phone. He is the human weapon. Friday nights at 10. That's tonight on the History Channel. How long till we see you in a sumo ring?
Oh, you know what? It's funny you mention that because we're starting to research season two right now, and one of the things that they really want to do, and I know Bill really, really wants.
Yeah, I was going to say that sumo might be better for Bill.
Yeah, I mean, anything to get me in some Huggies, you know?
Speaking of which, I just have to say quickly, Jason, that were you talking on your own cell phone when we called you?
I was.
You know your ringback tone?
Oh, man. Here it goes. Yes, I know my ringback tone.
Yeah, you know what it is?
What's my ringback tone?
Sexy back.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Sexy back.
You should be embarrassed.
You can't be the human weapon and have Justin Timberlake as your ringback. You can't do both. You got to choose.
Hey, you know what? I was trying to find some Britney Spears or something just to make all my friends, because all my friends are these tough MMA guys, right? So they call and I listen to their voicemails and they have like some like death metal playing. I'm like, right, what can I do to really annoy them? So I figured Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, something that they'd have to listen to incessantly. Well, and luckily, my phone calls have gone down.
Oh, I see. You put a bad song on so people won't call you.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
That's brilliant.
Hey, if I know someone's got Fergie as a ringback, believe me, I'm just not calling. That's all there is to it. It is a fascinating show, and our lovely Lisa, who works with us here in the room, is a little bit of a mixed martial artist herself. And Lisa, that's Jason is a hero to your crowd, right?
Oh, yeah. We talk about him in class all the time, and it's fascinating because all of the different things that he does, I mean, we do some of it, so just to be able to watch someone who's good.
Yeah, sure.
It's really impressive.
And I got to tell you, we try our best to kind of highlight things for people because if you just watch the main TV shows, when they go off, you have nothing. And this is the kind of thing when there's, you know, you're not following a show or something else, you could tape it or whatever on the History Channel. It's a fascinating show. It's a great.
I was really happy with the way it turned out.
It's really good. Human Weapon, yeah, Fridays at 10 o'clock on the History Channel. Sexy Back's Jason Chambers on the phone.
Thanks, Jason. Stay safe, man.
Thank you, bro.
All right, bye now.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You mentioned Bobby Brown earlier. His old friend, Michael Bivins, from New Edition and Bev Biv DeVoe.
What was the name of that band?
Bev Biv and DeVoe?
Bell Biv DeVoe,
sorry.
Jeez, even I know that.
That was a moment with Bean.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me try that again in about 4 minutes, all right? Give me another shot at that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Funny man Daryl Hammond joins us just after the news at 7. That's right around the corner. Very excited about that. First, though, Ralph's out today. He's, air quotes, sick. So we're taking a look at the showbiz beat. You know, we were just making fun of Jason Chambers a minute ago, the human weapon, for his ringback tone, the Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake actually in the showbiz beat today, and in a way that you never, ever could have predicted. German scientists were trying to figure out why they were having so much trouble breeding their sharks in captivity. And I guess I didn't know this, but I guess I should have picked this up from Shark Week last week. There's some sort of problem with sharks not breeding fast enough, with species being close to extinction because they can't get them to mate. You know, there are a lot of animals that are having trouble with. You always hear about the polar bears and the panda bears and the bears and that they're having trouble getting to make babies. Well, they're having the same trouble with sharks. So what do you think they did? They tried to find music that they could play in the tanks so that the sharks would make love.
And then shark porn.
Shark porn, they don't say shark porn yet, but I'm sure they're getting to that. They found out that Justin Timberlake records are the records that work nearly the best.
Oh, my God.
The sharks love Sexy Back. What's up with that?
Come on.
That's so funny.
They can't tell if a shark loves a song.
Listen to this. The most popular songs to get amorous activity from the sharks include Rock Your Body by Justin Timberlake, Push It by Salt-N-Pepa, You Can Leave Your Hat On by Joe Cocker. However, it's not just any rhythmic pop song, for instance. The sharks have no reaction when Britney Spears records are played in the tank. So I don't know. I don't begin to understand what this means or why those songs would be particularly effective for shark sex. But who saw that coming? I didn't. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Imagine being married to Ashton Kutcher because he does that punk show.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that would be bad because you'd be set up.
Is he trying to pull one on his wife?
He would know all your secrets. According to The Sun, Demi Moore has entered into an official pact with Ashton Kutcher that they both signed on the dotted line, saying that she's not allowed to be punked ever.
Good for her. I would, too.
Ever.
That would be brutal.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think you're too vulnerable to have the punked guy living in your house. I totally agree.
He's punked Halle Berry, Kate Beckinsale, Jessica Alba, Eva Longoria, Hugh Jackman, Justin Timberlake, Elijah Wood, Simon Cowell.
Wow.
But no on Demi Moore. Not going to happen.
If you're wondering why Omar is wearing particularly heavy black eye makeup today, here's why. The Cure have announced that they are going to postpone for the second time their new double album, which we've been so excited about. You know, they're touring. They're coming to the Hollywood Bowl in September. I think they've been working on this double album we've been hearing so much about. It was originally supposed to be out in, I guess, in the spring, and then they moved it to the fall. Now it's not going to be till spring of next year, 2008. Robert Smith told an interviewer recently that he was struggling to come up with lyrics to the 33 new songs that he and the band had recorded.
Oh, my God.
Record fewer songs.
So, wait a minute. So they recorded the songs, but they don't have lyrics?
They don't have lyrics for it. You know, a lot of bands will do that. Well, they'll do the music, and then they'll go back in and put the vocal,
I
right?
See.
So do fewer songs. Just seems so easy. I don't know. You'd be hard to come up with 50 songs. It'd be hard to come up with 100 songs. Just do like 12.
Maybe he loves the idea of the double CD. He likes the music.
Well, in fact, he says he wants to release two versions of the next Cure album, a limited edition double record mixed by him, and then a single CD mixed by another producer. So apparently he has some sort of vision in his head of how he wants it to go. But if you're a Cure fan and you've been salivating at being only a few weeks away from a double album of Cure music, unfortunately, it's going to have to wait till next spring.
Anthony
but how
Kiedis,
great.
Anthony Kiedis, do you think you could help him with some lyrics?
Well, slam a damn out, rock and dang a dong a dong, zig a dang bang a whack a dang, California.
That is a collaboration.
That's all it takes.
It's a collaboration I'd like to hear. And I promised you a Paris Hilton story. I don't think I understand why. Look, I understand that Paris Hilton is famous and people like to look at her. I understand that. But what about these people who hang out in front of her house? And these people, for
Paparazzi,
instance, these.
You mean?
No, these are fans who hang out in front of her house just to meet her.
Man.
Here's a story on TMZ.com about a couple of teenagers two nights ago who were left in tears after Paris Hilton came out for a night of clubbing and stopped to get a picture taken with them.
You mean they were so happy?
Because they were wiping tears of joy from their face. TMZ interviewed them. The girls said they were so happy to have met their, in their words, idol and true love.
Oh, that's
who frightening.
Who
are these people?
Who are their parents?
Wow. That's awesome.
I don't know, but folks.
Hey, listen, though. Let's not discourage people from looking up to whores. You know?
That may be good advice, Kevin.
I mean, if they're chicks, where are they from? Huntington Beach or someplace?
Yeah, I think they were local. Yeah, I think they were local.
Whore it up, people. Well, that's all I'm saying.
But what teenager drives to Paris Hilton's house and just waits out in front to get a picture taken? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just,
I can't imagine.
I don't get it.
Kate Beckinsale is saying that she's turned down the chance to be a Bond girl for the sake of her daughter.
Oh, really?
For the sake of her daughter? Why? What's that deal?
She has an 8-year-old daughter named Lily, and she says that she wouldn't want to see her being a 007 conquest. She said, I was asked to be a Bond girl. I don't remember which one it was, but I think I've embarrassed my daughter enough.
Oh.
You're always required to be in your underwear in a James Bond movie, and once your kids reach third grade, you don't want to shame them.
She's been topless.
But who looks better in their underwear than Kate Beckinsale?
I agree. Yeah. There's nothing shameful about that. It gives your daughter something to aspire to, Kate.
All right, you
seriously.
Guys.
All right. Today, kind of thin on the showbiz birthdays. Michael Bivins from Belle Biv DeVoe.
Good. Excellent.
Has a birthday today. He is 39 years old. I don't know what those guys are doing these days. Rosanna Arquette from the acting Arquette family is 48 years old today. And Antonio Banderas, who really deserves some sort of sainthood when he dies. I mean, fast track to heaven because he's lived hell on earth being married to Melanie Griffith all these years.
B
he is 47, and that's the K-Rock Show Biz Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
I'm sorry.
Your microphone's on.
I'm sorry.
Daryl, you okay?
Yes. I'm so sorry.
You can tell a professional broadcaster has entered the studio, ladies and gentlemen, appearing at the Irvine Improv tonight and tomorrow night. It's funny man Daryl Hammond. Apparently, he's coughing up a lung here today.
Yeah. Sorry, you guys.
So you have two shows tonight, 8:30 and 10:30.
Yes, 2:30 and 8:30 and 10:30.
And you're happy to be up at this hour.
I love being up at this hour and driving in on the 405.
It's good times.
There's nothing like the 405.
Nothing like the 405. No 405 East, though.
No, there's no 405 East. You're
right. I had a little problem going east on the 405.
Really?
Did someone tell you to do that?
Some guys go to the 405, and then you go east.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really got in trouble. And you know how it is when you get lost in heavy traffic. It takes you like 3 days to get back.
Just, and you could what be a block. You could be lost a block in length, and it still takes you 3 days to get
back. And there's such a series of no left turns. You know, it's those no left turn signs. Just really.
You know what kills me is the labeling of the freeways in Southern California, because it could be the 101 North or the 101 East, and then it could be the 101, you know, or South.
South,
I mean,
or
south
west.
Or east or west or north. Right. They label them differently depending on where it is. It's ridiculous.
And then there are freeways where they don't give you the direction. They just tell you what city you'd be heading towards. If you don't know those cities, how have you any idea which way to go?
If you go east on the 405, let me tell you what happens.
Yes, please.
I don't know where you end up.
You take a whole bunch of no left turn signs and you end up in Tampa.
Tampa.
So I was in Tampa for a little while.
Wow.
Last year.
Well, welcome back. Congratulations.
Good time.
Thank you so much. Happy to be back.
Now, Daryl, of course, we know you best from your TV work for your 27 seasons on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
But since the last time we had you in, did you make your Broadway debut as well?
I did. Yeah.
That means you're like an actor in some junk.
I think that it. I think that it is. I mean, it was really hard for me.
What show was it?
It was
the Vagina Monologues.
Okay, sure. I totally would have taken that part.
Sorry,
too.
I apologize.
It was 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee play
I've
that won the
that
Tony.
Show.
It was like a great play and had a few rocky nights out there with the 70 music cues that I was involved in. But
70.
That's a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It seems maybe 20. It's the kind of thing where like it hinges on what I do. And if I screw it up, it takes like 45 minutes for it to fix, you know?
Same thing as getting lost on the freeway.
That's exactly right. We went to Tampa.
How does that happen, though? I mean, did you audition to be in the show, or did somebody have a role that they just called you and said this would be perfect for you, or what?
I don't really know why. I think that they had seen a Law and Order that I did that I wasn't very – that I was pretty, I guess, okay. I did pretty – you know, a decent job in, and they went, you know, man, let's bring him in. Let's see.
That's cool.
So I sort of went in there and, you know, I got laughs and all that the first night, but I was just screwing up the music cues that I got so flustered. You know, it's a spelling bee. There's the bell to ring them out. And one time a guy, like this
huge. Were you a judge?
Huh?
Were you one of the judges?
Well, yeah, I was one of the people running the bee, and I rang the bell at the wrong time. And
now, do the professional actors and actresses that they do Broadway for a living and have their whole lives, do they look at you like, oh, here comes TV boy, he's going to come in?
I think it probably makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they were so nice to me. I'm sure that if they had been mean to me, I would have quit.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, the first night I was out there and you see these Broadway level people that have been living their whole life to take this stage.
Right, exactly.
And then you're like, and here you're from TV and
Well, and these days that's what, you know, stars are what sells tickets on Broadway. And I mean, let's face it, if you're, you know, like you're talking about a real actor and then they give David Hasselhoff the role in Chicago, you just got to be like, oh, what am I doing? Come on. It's got to hurt.
True.
I always wanted to see the Phantom of the Opera on the road. You know, I have like red buttons as the Phantom. Yeah.
Do you do Hasselhoff? Because that's a rich mind right there.
No, I don't.
You don't.
I don't.
I got to tell you, you have to have been happy as doing an impression of Al Gore that he didn't just go away after the election. You would think Al Gore would have just gone away, but he came back with Live Earth and all this other stuff. So there's a lot of call for.
Yeah, and not only that, he speaks a lot. He speaks differently.
He does?
So that's
what do you mean he speaks differently?
I think that we, when we had him on the show, when we were doing him before, really we were just doing a takeoff, and really a takeoff of the first Gore-Bush debates.
Kind of a caricature of.
It was a caricature of what happened that night.
Right.
I mean, almost not even him. Mm-hmm. And we started, you know, we were like, in my plan, the governor's blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, and the elderly's benefits would be paid for. And George Bush's plan, their house would be burned to the ground. You know what I mean? So that's what we were doing, you know, which he doesn't talk like that. But, I mean, back then that was working. But I think, you know, now that he's reemerged, I mean, he speaks differently. And so.
Well, better for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he speaks better. Now, it's that damn slideshow.
Yeah,
he's got to let that goddamn slideshow go. There's no question about that. So I know that comedians, especially in your line of work with the impressions of the SNL, you guys have a real vested interest in who gets elected. Do you have someone that you're pulling for? Because, you know, God forbid it's Hillary. I mean, that hurts you.
Yes. That
Well, although that does bring Bill back,
that
I guess.
Brings Bill back
into the picture, which is...
We have so often brought Clinton back for no apparent reason. You know, one time, you know, it was a time delay driving down the highway, and for some reason, Clinton was hitchhiking.
Well, that is one of your very best that you do. It's probably too early now, but at some point, there'll be, you know, a vote on who gets to do Obama or who gets to do, you know, whoever the guy ends up being,
yes,
right?
There will be a vote. Someone just gave me a tape the other night. Do you know? Are you familiar with John Edwards at all?
Sure, yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Let me see.
He's got a tape recorder in his hand. He's going
to
put it up.
I can't be with you in person, but I can't tell you how much it means to me and Elizabeth that you're taking time to be there for us.
He'd be great for you, right?
I'm sorry I can't be there in person, but I can't tell you how much it means to Elizabeth and I that you were there for us.
We've seen the magic.
Now, are you having to learn like 13 Democrats and 13 Republicans?
It may come down to that. Mm-hmm. But like Edwards is like, Edwards is kind of on my mind lately. I did this show with Jim Cramer from Mad Money.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And
he's crazy.
He was like plugging me, you know, like which one do you want to do? So I've been asking around for a decent tape of him, and someone gave me that the other night. Of John
Perfect.
Edwards, but yeah, you're right. I mean, who knows what it will be like, you know, in a month when we come back.
Now, you did you do George Bush or you never did?
I never did.
I didn't think so.
No.
Why?
Seems
like he's very doable and you're really good at it.
Well, you know.
Well, you had Will at the time, right? I mean, was it Will Ferrell doing him on SNL for the first administration?
You know what it was is that he was doing him and then, you know, after that, I mean, I didn't feel like I could do it like that, you know.
Right.
And my mind had been out there. My brain's out there sitting there. Him just getting these huge laughs. And then my brain is like, that's the way you should do it. But, I mean, I'm not wired
right.
like he is.
Right.
And you don't want to lift anything that other people do. Anyway, that was something he created. It
right.
was so funny.
But you do Dick Cheney. Too bad he's not running. I mean, come on. Seriously,
he's the best.
For comedy's sake, too bad he's not running.
Well, he'd be so great just to see him in the Oval Office for a day, you know, just to see him do things like Cheney style. Like, all right, let's get the press in here. All right, fellas, come over here. Take a look at this computer. All right, take a look at the world map. All right, try and find Korea. not there anymore, is it? I had a couple of beers last night. Not going to have to worry about that little guy anymore.
You know, he's overdue to shoot a guy in the face, too, by the way, while we're talking about. How about some fun for the last year and a half of the administration? How about shooting another hunting buddy in the face? Come on.
Well, listen, you know, we can all, like, send in our text messages and see if we can get anything done.
That'd be the best. All right, 7:15, Daryl Hammond is here. We need to take a break. He's at the Irvine Improv tonight and tomorrow night.
Can I just do John Edwards amped up a little bit?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Sure, I loved it.
All right.
Oh, you mean in a little bit? I thought you meant now.
No, when you come back, I just want to do him with his voice raised a little bit.
Okay. I thought you were trying to do it before we broke.
Sorry, no, break.
Okay, break. Okay. That's how we roll. We don't just make a joke about playing the toadies. We follow through and play it.
We're committed to the joke. That's right. Funny man Daryl Hammond in the studio of the world-famous Kerouac playing tonight at the Irvine Improv, which Daryl will tell you is one of his favorite places in the country to play. You're there tonight. You're there tomorrow. And when people come to see the Daryl Hammond show, they don't just get Daryl Hammond, right? They get Regis and Bill Clinton and Sean Connery, the whole deal, right?
Everything I can think of in 60 minutes.
What do people ask for the most?
Sean Connery.
Oh, we love Sean Connery.
You know, Sean Connery and Jesse Jackson, I think.
Sure. We're obsessed with Jesse Jackson ourselves.
I went to the Middle East, brought home Swainer, Gutman, Cheney. I did not leave a kick or a Bible or a gun or a sword. Who's this here together?
You've had the Reverend on the SNL a couple of times. What's his reaction to your impression?
I don't know, and I hope that... You know, I hope he likes it. Most people act like they like it, but I mean, I hope he does.
Yeah,
I
don't want to get. You know what? Because
you don't do it to make people angry.
I never really, you know, came from some place where people didn't do impressions. It was just like a weird up. To this day, I've never lived anywhere where people didn't do fairly unflattering impressions of me. I mean, they do. I mean, it's just sort of the way we have lived. So
right.
I thought, you know.
that's kind of the way I've lived.
When did you recognize that you had that talent? Because I can watch a speech 1,000 times and I can't get anywhere close. I can't just don't have it.
My mom could do it. You know, we used to do a Christmas Carol with Ralph Richardson and Paul Scofield, and we would do the voices from that. So that it was just a bizarre environment.
That sounds weird.
You know what I mean?
So you just grew up. Everybody was doing impressions.
Yeah, like we were. I was just a little kid. You know, go Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Is there a young impressionist out there who right now is working hard on his Daryl Hammond chunk? Is that going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the thought of something like that is very flattering. I know, you know, there's probably a couple of more years that I want to do that, and then we'll see. You know, there's we'll see what happens in my world.
I can guarantee you who does. I can guarantee you who does not like your impression. That's Sean Connery, because he is a grouchy old man now. He's just angry. He hates people.
So he may be.
There's no way he has a sense of humor, don't you think?
Yeah.
You get the idea that guy just, not like he goes through life laughing a lot, I'm guessing.
I used to do this line. I was working on this line when this whole thing started, and I don't know where it came from, what movie it was. It was like, I'm not proposing marriage. You don't have to think about it. Just nod. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I don't know. Again,
hope not, but who?
I can't even tell you how many people like comics do impressions of me. So I don't really understand any different than that.
Yeah. Right.
Well, sure. Now, you mentioned in the last segment, Daryl, that SNL is coming back next month. Have we heard officially that you're part of that?
I don't
is
know.
That for, is that done?
I don't know if you've heard anything or not. I'm not
Have
sure.
You?
Or will you be dead by the black lung by then?
I'll be dead by the black lung.
I think that was Bean's way of asking, are you going to be?
Well, it looks as everyone's having conversations pointing in that direction.
Okay.
As you know, there were...
Boy, are you a politician.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Everyone's having conversations pointed in that direction was
the
answer.
You know, I like to give non-answers to questions, you know, like... Do you say, like, well, I think that's an interesting question. A lot of people are having conversations pointing in that direction. As you know, there are always these lawyers, there are agents, there are I's to dot and T's to cross. So, you know, in a very real sense, we're just we're going to see what happens and what happens in the future.
You really are. That's politician speak right there.
It sure is.
You could talk for a minute and say nothing.
Yeah, I always wrap it up with when I'm doing, like, you know, we have conversations pointing in that direction. We're looking forward to that type of thing, and we're all focusing on that right now, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, yeah. I want to hear the ramped up John Edwards.
Oh, sure, yeah, ramped up John Edwards.
Right. We had a request from the crowd. Fantastic.
Right. And then Imus.
Sure,
yes.
Don.
Yeah,
Edwards.
Sure.
All right. John Edwards. What I want you to know is, that tonight, somewhere in this country, a 10-year-old girl is hoping and praying that tomorrow won't be as cold as today. Hoping. And praying that tomorrow her daddy has a job, hoping and praying that the American people don't notice I hold my hand like Spider-Man, hoping and praying.
Daryl, do you have the hair to pull that off on television, though?
No, I don't. We'll wear a wig. I don't have as good a hair as him, but we're getting it there, right?
Oh, yeah, sure, it's good. And
that
I
was
love,
good.
If you can't see his face, but that makes it.
Your face
you
does
see
turn
face
into.
The face and the gestures. Yeah. This is perfect.
Well, it's like it's a situation where, like, having just heard this, you know, I can do the lower register as well as I want to. You know, that like, I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person.
Right. Yeah.
But now it's a matter of, like, he's got a middle register and an upper register, and so, you know, trying to get that. So yeah.
Now, Don Imus is a radio DJ in New York, for those of you who don't recognize the name. He's the guy who called the basketball team, was it?
Rutgers.
Nappy-headed hose. And yes. Then he went on the apology tour, and then he got fired.
Yeah.
Right.
You do Don?
Well, we did them last year, and someone came to me on the Wednesday of that week and Yeah, if you're lucky, you can find a key phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the key phrase was, "I wish I wouldn't have said it." I'm sorry that I said it. It was repugnant.
That is so good. Yeah, he was on that apology tour. He went on Sharpton Show and all the others, and that's what he was doing. I mean, you could tell he was,
was insensitive. And repugnant.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's hope he comes back on the radio, because that's good news for you this season.
That's what they're saying. They're saying that he is.
Yeah.
You ever run into Donald Trump, speaking of being in New York and doing a voice?
I went to dinner with him
I went to dinner with him one night. He invited me to come to some event with Commissioner Kelly, a police commissioner, and it was amazing sitting next to him and Melania. And Trump is you know, I mean, there's no one like him. He loves being Trump, you know.
And nobody loves being Trump more than him. He's just so happy being him.
I mean, Clinton loves being Clinton. Yeah. I know you can feel it, and it's fun to be Donald Trump, and, you know, he's very optimistic about the world. I mean, he looks at a problem like money loss and doesn't understand, literally doesn't understand that he can't win. You know, and that's why he keeps making all these comebacks financially.
Right, sure.
But I mean, like, Rosie was having a hard time with him this year. I mean, he's a smart guy, and he's not easy to mess around with.
Yeah.
But for her, it was like she was trying to slice air. You know, like, hard to insult him. She's like, well, he likes younger women. He left his wife for a younger woman. Trump's like, yeah, and?
Your point is, if I had a nickel for it, hey, wait a minute, I do.
Now, does a guy like Donald Trump ask you to do him for him?
Yeah, well, he just comes up and makes, you know, you're going to make big money because of me.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you're right, of him. I am. I mean, there's a couple of bucks to be made impersonating him. And he was very. There's a classic example of a guy that's just really been friendly to me. You know, almost.
But it's so
all
funny
of
though. Oh, he's obviously smart. He obviously has skills in that business sense. I mean, he's obviously very good at what he does. He is talk about repugnant. He is repugnant personally though in that. He has no qualms about, well, she's just a fat, ugly lesbian whore. You know what I mean? I mean, he talks like he's on a fifth grade playground when he gets into these battles with these other celebrities.
He's definitely not a politician.
No, but, you know, you don't really need to talk about Rosie well either.
Well,
yeah, but I'm just saying, in general, though, he definitely plays dirty. There's no question about that.
Oh, he's not to be toyed with. Don't be trifling with him.
He's a street
Jay Leno has a good sense of humor, I imagine, about it.
Jay, about being impersonated, he seems to act like he does when I go.
You don't really believe anyone, do you?
No.
I have to think, you know, I don't know that everyone is as cool about it. I don't think everyone was raised having people do impressions of them like
the
way
I
was. I was.
We didn't put on plays where we impersonated people in my house. Never, ever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I can't do it. Stupid parents.
Well, here's something interesting. Apparently, Sears Roebuck's gonna stand there and hand McDonald's hamburger. Ooh, gonna make that. Ooh.
Daryl Hammond, Irvine Improv. It's tonight and it's tomorrow. Did you say two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow night? That's a lot
of
work.
Right?
Yeah.
Two tonight, two tomorrow night.
I'm sorry, I can't be there in person.
Well, you are going to be there in person, Daryl. It's going to be tonight, tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. That's at the Irvine Spectrum. It's a great room if you haven't been there. 71 Fortune Drive. You can call 949-854-5455. It's a good night out of comedy with our friend Daryl Hammond. Always great to catch up with you, man.
Thanks for coming in so much, fellas.
You know, it's getting to be that time of year where we have the K-Rock Inland Invasion. And Monday at 7:15, we've got some details for you. We're changing things up some this year.
Ooh.
Yay! So tune in Monday at 7:15 and we'll give you all the details.
All right, good times. Les Stroud, he is Survivor Man. He was also the host of this year's Shark Week, which was a huge hit. We'll talk to him just after 8 o'clock. Also, Ralph is out sick today, but Mr. Movie Phone is going to join us between 8 and 9 o'clock for the movie. What do you call it? The Movie Beat is coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. Yeah, I was out partying pretty late with Daryl Hammond last night.
Sure.
Now we'll go to the email bag. This is kind of a sad email. You know, you do the best you can. You come in here every day. You work hard. You try to put on a good show. You hope to satisfy your regular listeners. And every once in a while, you fail. I mean, they can't all be winners, right? And here's our broken-hearted listener, Fernando, has written in about a show we did a couple days ago. Dear Kevin and Bean, today listening to your show was a very, very sad day. It was the day that the Kevin and Bean show began to fall apart. I've been a long-time listener, and for years I've had this feeling that one day this day would come. However, it was still sad to see.
First day came a long time ago, people.
Well, I think so, too. But Fernando was hanging with us until this week.
All right.
First, you had Ralph, a guy who I so admire and respect, lose his mind on the air with his so-called addiction to lip balm.
Right.
Oh, Ralph, what happened to you? Then Psycho Mike finally officially reserved his seat on the train to Gay Town by admitting that he wouldn't kick a transsexual out of bed.
That's correct.
It wasn't at all surprising, of course, knowing Mike, but it was still disturbing nonetheless. And finally, the worst thing ever, Lisa May, my beloved Lisa May, told us that she hates the movie Dazed and Confused. How can that be? Lisa, my heart is broken.
Aww.
Where does our relationship go from there? What's next? Lightning being right? Well, I don't think we're in any danger of that. Yeah, let's not get crazy, right? Anyway, I know now that this is indeed the beginning of the end of the Kevin DeBede Show, but it was fun while it lasted. Your heartbroken listener, Fernando. Wow. So I'm sorry that we broke your heart. I did want to make one more note, by the way, on the Dazed and Confused topic, and I want to thank Carrick listener Phil for sending this in. For some reason, because it is such a classic, Dazed and Confused is going to be back up on the big screen in Southern California starting next Wednesday night, August 15th, for a week. If you haven't seen it in the movie theater, because the movie's, you know, 14 years old,
Lisa,
or something.
Lisa, we're going.
No, no.
The Regency South Coast Village Theater in Santa Ana. The Regency South Coast Village Theater in Santa Ana. Lisa, you understand that it's so beloved and such a classic that they're putting it back up on the big screen starting next week. You understand that, right?
I understand that. I also know I got at least 25 emails from people who are backing me. And since we know from the FCC that one email represents 1,000 people, that's 26,000 people who agree with me.
Yeah, those numbers are a little suspect.
Dear Kevin and Bean, so I called you guys for What to Do Nephew on either Monday or Tuesday of this week. I was on hold to talk with you guys, but you ran out of time. I called to tell everybody that I had an earthquake dream, a prediction.
Ooh.
I forgot who I talked to on the phone, but ask around. I was right. There was a 4.5 earthquake this morning. I believe the email came yesterday. I'm totally bummed I didn't get through. The point of this email, I don't know, but if I ever call again with another dream, you have to take my call. Take care, and I love Axa Black. Sarah in La Mirada.
I think we do have to take her call.
Yes, we do.
No kidding, yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of Axa Black, which is a new feature that we debuted yesterday with our K-Rock listener friend, Anel, taking your questions that you've always had about African-Americans. Here's an email on one of the topics that came up was why black people can't swim. And Lou writes in and says, when I was in high school, I was on the swim team, but our school was too small to have its own pool. So we used to work out at a local pool that was shared by a swim team from another school, one that was predominantly black. They only had three guys on their swim team, so they couldn't even swim any of the relays that were standard events. But they were good, you know, they tried in the individual competitive categories. All three of the guys were obviously in great shape and probably really good in other sports, but they flailed and they struggled in the water and seemed like they had to work a lot harder than anybody else in the pool. The reason, as we were told at the time, is that as a rule, blacks have a leaner, Mike, I want you to listen to this and tell me if this makes any sense to you, is that blacks have a leaner muscle-to-fat ratio than most other races. It explains they're excelling at most sports since they've got the additional muscle mass to pull on, but it leads to negative buoyancy in the water since the fat is what keeps you floating. The negative buoyancy means they had to swim harder because they had to work to keep afloat as well as move forward in the water. I haven't heard this explanation from anyone else and in years, but I have no idea whether it's been proven correct or incorrect, but it made sense to me at the time. What do you guys think?
I'm going to say that's bogus. Mike?
I just don't really know much about the water because I'm Mexican, so like I swim in Levi's anyway, so I'm probably the wrong guy to go to.
All right.
I don't know the answer. I thought Adele's answer that it messes up your afro made a lot more sense to me than Lou's answer, but I just wanted to throw it out there, something that he heard, something he was thinking about.
Bean mentioned a little earlier the lip balm addiction conversation that was had earlier this week. And this one says, Dear Kevin and Bean, this is from Beth in Brea. It has grossed me out since I was a kid that on average people swallow 8 spiders in their sleep over their lifetime. Do you guys remember Duct Tape Girl?
Yes.
I do. But I also know that that's also not true. That is an urban legend. It doesn't happen.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying people believe it and act as if it's true. Duct Tape Girl was a girl that we had called the show every once in a while. She would literally put duct tape across her mouth as she slept and breathed through her nose so that spiders couldn't get in.
Jacqueline, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's right.
Beth in Brea says, every night I go to bed, I put on lip balm, the thick, sticky, waxy kind, so that if any spider tries to walk into my mouth, it'll get stuck on my lip.
That's good planning.
I've been doing this for years, and so far it has paid off only once, where I woke up and there was a spider stuck in the lip balm. But hey, at least it worked.
Oh my God.
No kidding.
She's happy with a spider being on her lip all night? That's good?
I would rather not know. I'd rather just swallow it in my sleep.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So that's Beth.
And finally, for me, a couple of days ago, we were talking about a TV program that a lot of our listeners somehow came across over the weekend of a preacher at the Crystal Cathedral with no arms and no legs. Remember this guy?
Sure. My name is Nick Vujicic, and as you can see, I have no arms and no legs.
So, of course, we were fascinated. I mean, you know, not that we were buying his message, but how cool is it to look at him with his little flipper toes out there trying to turn the pages in the Bible, right? So we put the video up at krock.com. A lot of videos up at krock.com, and that's one of them. And Jennifer writes in and goes, well, I just saw the video on your website, and I know that I'm going to hell for laughing. But at least if I go down, I'm taking you with me. Sincerely, yeah. Hell train passenger, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Look, God will understand that that's just too funny not to laugh at.
You can't put stuff like that in front of us. We're not responsible with that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
We tell you
exactly.
That up front. And finally for me, hey, guys, I was listening to your show a couple of weeks ago. You were making fun of Chris Angel, the mind freak. You repeatedly played a clip of him saying,
yeah!
I was laughing uncontrollably. Can you tell me where I can get that clip? Thanks, Brian. Well, you can get it on every single Chris Angel show.
Yeah!
When he does a trick. And the reason is because
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Les Stroud is Survivor Man. We've got him coming up after the news here on K-Rock. First, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat, it's us, Kevin and Bean. You know, that Superbad premiere is red carpet, and it's Monday night. Superbad, the movie we've been looking forward to, produced by Judd Apatow, the guy who's done so many funny comedies over the last couple of years. In fact, next week on the show, we're going to have Jonah Hill from Superbad and Seth Rogen, both on the program next year, talking about this movie. And if you want to go and see it before it opens, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We've got four pairs of passes right now for the red carpet premiere of Superman at the Grauman's Chinese Theater. Call now and win from the world-famous K-Rock.
I have to warn you, if you're calling in to win, that I think I'm hosting that. No. So that, if that deters you at all, I just want to give you that warning right now.
Well, they can come afterwards. Okay. Don't worry. Yeah, that's all right. No worries. Time for the Showbiz Beat. I don't know if you saw this picture, but the Bourne Ultimatum, which opened to, what, $70 million?
Yeah.
Right.
There is a billboard just outside of his house in New York.
Oh, no kidding.
Whose house?
Matt Damon.
Okay.
And it is, let me see, 15 feet wide and 50 feet high.
Boy.
It's him as Jason Bourne with a gun in his hand.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And so he lives there with his wife and kid, and every day he comes home to a 50-foot poster of himself.
That's got to be weird.
That's got to be a little weird, don't you think? I think I would call him and ask him to change it even. I mean, you're just like, yeah, that's me.
That's a little much.
That's too much.
That's me 50 feet tall. Yeah.
That's a terrific movie, by the way. You ought to see that. And I mentioned this yesterday on the show, and I want to mention it again. If you love our friend Jimmy Kimmel like we do, you've got to check out the Bourne Ultimatum spoof that they did with his man Guillermo, the security guard for the TV show, and also Matt Damon, who participates in it, acts in it with Guillermo. It's not just Guillermo edited into existing footage for the movie. They did a whole new thing, and it is great. And you can find that, you know, on Jimmy's site or YouTube or any place. But the Bourne Ultimatum with Guillermo is very, very funny. Lindsay Lohan, you know, I didn't realize this, but she's been having some problems lately. I thought everything was going great for her.
Oh, it's not all copacetic?
Yeah, movie career's doing great, everything.
Apparently, she's had some trouble, and a former bodyguard, a man who worked for her for 3 years named Tony Almeida, and we thought he died in that horrible accident at 24, but apparently he is still alive.
That's a character name.
He tells In Touch magazine that from an extremely young age, her parents, Dina and Michael Lohan, treated their daughter like a cash cow to pay their bills and exposed their children to a life of physical, emotional, and drug abuse. Look, there's no question, if you've ever seen either mom or dad on the TV, that Lindsay came from a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
Probably the worst. I mean, it probably would have been trouble anyway, but the worst thing that ever happened to this family is that Lindsay Lohan came into a bunch of money. I have a feeling. Mm-hmm. It did nothing but make things worse for them. Some of the sad highlights of the story, Tony claims that he had to run interference when Michael Lohan once dragged his daughter Lindsay out of a car, threw her on the hood, and called her a slut. That happened on the Long Island Expressway during in traffic. He also claims that starting with her sweet 16th birthday party, her parents knew and allowed her to drink whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted.
Wow.
Which is ideal. And it was okay for them if she had sleepovers with her ex-boyfriend, Aaron Carter, when she was starting at the time when she was 15 years old, because they figured that Aaron Carter was a big pop star and it would be good for Lindsay's career. So go ahead and pimp her out.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
This is all coming from Tony Almeida, again, who worked for Lindsay for 3 years. When Lindsay turned 18, Tony said she moved on to drugs, cried out for help repeatedly, including cutting herself and threatening suicide. So it's no surprise that Lindsay's in the trouble she's in if this has been what her life has been like for the last few years. But if what he's saying is true, it is a little bit more of a glimpse into how she got there.
A little bit criminal, I think.
See the pictures on TMZ.com of Adrian Grenier and Paris Hilton?
No.
Hanging out on the beach. He's shirtless so he can go in the ocean. She's
got a bikini on?
No, I didn't see those. I thought he was spurring her advances. Spurning her advances.
Apparently not. Apparently there's not much spurning going on. The star of Entourage was seen in Malibu, I guess, yesterday.
Oh.
Hanging out.
Now I'm depressed.
But put it in perspective. Beach, like the shoreline in Malibu is kind of like Robertson and Beverly Hills. I mean, the chances of two celebrities just kind of hanging out there. It's pretty high. I mean, they don't have to necessarily be dating because they're sharing beach in Malibu.
And
I mean,
we probably know that both live a
block.
Him.
They probably both live a block away and just happen to be swimming on the same beach, you know?
We can hope.
And he said, hey, I've seen some of your work. I'd like to get to know you better.
Brad Pitt in court yesterday. And if you're all excited that now there's more legal trouble for another celebrity, not the case. He had jury duty. He was juror number one. I guess he showed up. He had to. They was at the point where they threatened him with contempt if he tried to dodge it one more time. So he did show up. He was chauffeured there. They let him stay in a separate room from the rest of the jury pool. But he ended up not having to serve. Showing up was enough because the defendant in the DUI case pleaded no contest and he was able to leave.
Nicely done.
What?
I don't know what that meant, but thank you, Mike.
That was good work.
So, Brad Pitt, just another way that he's a lot better than Oliver Bates. Just one more way that he rules and I drool.
I don't know how permanent this is going to be, but there is a site called tournament.com where you can play video games for money.
Oh.
Not
that
gambling.
Sounds
not
illegal.
Like, not like poker.
Yeah.
Not like online poker, but it is gamers pony up an entrance fee, and they play first-person shooter matches, like those kind of video games, and then they divide the money amongst the winners.
Really?
Yeah. I guess 14 states in the U.S. ban this sort of gaming for money, but all the other ones, I guess it's okay, and it's located, you know, off the shore.
Yeah.
So, tournament.com, you could lose all of your money playing games.
Go.
Here's the URL if you can't spell tournament.
www.voicesfromspirit.com/N5/leagues.htm.
Okay, I hope that helps. And finally, for people like Kevin who love vampires, will watch anything that has to do with vampires, can't get enough of the vampires. The creator of HBO's 6 Feet Under, which you all remember was a terrific show, has signed up to do a new series for HBO about vampires. Daily Variety magazine says it's going to be called True Blood. It'll be set in a small town in Louisiana in which the vampires are able to coexist with humans by drinking Japanese-manufactured synthetic blood.
Really?
That is a show. That's a show.
I'm all about that. That sounds great.
Right there.
By the way, I love those kind of movies so much. Have you seen the billboards for Skinwalkers?
Oh, I've seen them everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
The woman with the teeth?
Yeah.
Strangely turned on by that. Can't wait.
Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Bivins from Belle Biv DeVoe, and of course from New Edition as well, is 39 years old today. It seems like he ought to be a lot older than that because it seems like those bands were popular like 40 years ago.
Yeah, it really
but
does.
He's still in his 30s. That's unbelievable to me. Actress Rosanna Arquette is 48 years old today, and Antonio Banderas, some say this one of the sexiest men in the world. Lisa, good
he's
deal, Antonio?
Hot. I like him.
Yeah,
you like him?
I do.
He could do better than Melanie Griffith. That's all I'm saying. But he does celebrate today as his 47th birthday. That's the Q-Rock Showbiz Beat.
You know, we've been trying to find some good TV to watch.
Yes.
In the off-season, it's a little harder. You know, you got your FX, you got your Spike, you got channels like that, HBO, Showtime sometimes have stuff to recommend. And in this particular case, the Discovery Channel with Survivor Man. To the Survivor Man himself, Les Stroud, a little bit back when we were talking about Shark Week, because he was hosting Shark Week. Les, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
So how does a guy in your line of work with the work that you do on Survivor Man say, yep, sign me up for season two. I'm ready to go again.
Glutton for punishment. Total glutton for punishment.
What is your background? Because if people haven't seen it yet, it's on Discovery. It's on tonight at 9 o'clock. Survivor Man comes back for season two. And they drop you where and you have what?
Well, the whole concept was that because I do both filmmaking and was a survival instructor for a lot of years, was just drop me in the middle of nowhere, leave me alone with nothing but camera equipment, no food, no survival supplies, and come and get me a week later, or I'll walk out a week later, and I'll have a survival odyssey on film, and that's the whole basic premise of the show, just you know, total survival, and come out with the film.
Now, is there anyone who's monitoring you? Like, do they fly over where you are from time to time just to make sure you're still alive? Or do you have some sort of a setup where you can throw a flare-up or an SOS if you need it?
You know, for the longest time, I had nothing. I would just be out there, and it was pretty tricky. And then, of course, as you know, insurance people get involved and all the rest, and I was like, "Oh, we can't have that." So now, what we do is I've got a safety crew, a production team. They are they could be anywhere from a couple of miles to many miles away, and I have a two-way radio and an Iridium satellite phone. And the thing is that if I run into the absolute dire situation and I need to call in the cavalry, then I can do that. Problem is that when I get into like the jungle and I get under the jungle canopy, those radios and those phones don't work so well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
that's a good backup plan then.
I'm going, okay. This is I got to go into a whole different mode now because now even my safety crew can't hear me.
Now, do you have an experience in mind that would make you want to call for help? Because I know, you're a tough guy and you want to survive the thing. But, I mean, what would it take? Would it take getting malaria or breaking a leg? Or what do you think would make you actually pick up the phone and call for backup?
Well, actually, this season, when you watch, I'm not sure if, I think they might be opening with the Kalahari Desert Show. And this is the closest I've ever come to exactly that. In fact, I even pulled out the two-way radio. I turned it on. I put it up on I was in a Land Rover in the Kalahari Desert, and I put it up on the dash. Because what had happened was I was starting to slip into some pretty major heat exhaustion, a heat stroke, and that can kill you.
Yeah.
And I looked at, and I when you watch the show and you'll see this stare that I do into the camera, that's a real stare. That's not play acting.
How hot was it?
It was 107 degrees in the shade, and then I took I've got this little watch that will actually tell the temperature, and I put it up on the surface of the sand, and 10 minutes later I picked it up, and it read 140 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I see that, and I'm gone. I'm out. I mean, I know that, listen, I know you were a survival guide, did you say?
Well, yeah, I mean, I taught outdoor adventure, whitewater, canoeing, all that sort of stuff, sea kayaking, and survival for a long time, for many years.
It just seems like it would be such a miserable week. I mean, don't you go, okay, I'm done with this. Like to do something where I don't have to survive.
Yeah, you know what? I think I say that every single time I go out there. It's like, okay, I don't think I need to do any more of these.
Usually, but here's what
the third or fourth night I quit every single time. Like,
yeah,
okay,
I don't blame you at all. Les, here's what I don't get, by the way. It's tough enough to survive out in that Kalahari Desert for a week, but why do they only give you enough water for 4 days? I mean, isn't that just adding insult to injury?
Yeah,
that's just
much.
Saying, hey, I know you're a good guy, but we're going to try to kill you.
Well, unfortunately, this is going to even make me sound so much worse, but that was my idea.
Oh, good.
It's one of those things where I look at the ecosystem or the place I'm going and think, okay, what's going to create a good survival situation here that I can really sink my teeth into and tell a good story and be realistic about it. And that's why, like I said, it up by going in by a Land Rover. People drive the Land Rovers up there. Okay, so I'll go in by a Land Rover, but it'll run out of gas, and then I can rip it apart. And so I kind of set the scenarios up depending on where I'm going.
Now, I know you don't want to give away too much about tonight's premiere, which, again, is at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. We're talking to Les Stroud from Survivor Man. But when you run out of water, then are you reduced to trying to get water out of plants and animals there?
Yes, in a word, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And, man, it's, you know, it's not easy.
Well, no kidding. That's why none of us do it. Here's a clip of Les looking for some food.
This is unfortunate. I was hoping this might be a termite nest that I could chow down on and get in there and get some termites to eat for lunch, but it seems to be riddled with snake holes.
He's disappointed that there aren't termites to eat.
And I'm also breathy and out of breath, aren't I?
He wanted to eat termites. That was his goal.
Les, you know what, why did
asked me last night what the best tasting thing was? And I have to admit, you know, that one of the nicest tasting critters is actually grasshoppers and scorpions.
Scorpions.
I'll make a note of that. I hope I never need to use that.
Yeah, no
you'll
kidding.
You'll see it tonight. I'll give this much away. Tonight, you watch it, you're going to see a scorpion kebab.
A scorpion kebab. Very nice.
It'll sweep the nation as a new state sensation for sure.
I doubt that. Hey, why did you make the decision to film yourself? Like, you don't have enough on your mind already without having to lug the camera around. I mean, you could have a guy shadowing you with the crew, right? Why do you have to do it yourself?
You know, right from the very beginning, I even had, you know, people, we'd brainstorm and people, we'll take somebody in with you, you'll be able to accomplish more of this and that. The point is, we know I'm coming out in 7 days. We all know that much. So how can I make it as realistic, as close to a real survival situation as possible? And for me, I always said, look, if I have a camera crew, you're going to have camaraderie. You know, hey, man, give me a bite of that Mars bar. You know,
right.
I just never felt that.
No, that's good.
Fair, you know?
Dude, when you don't have the termites, you can get a candy bar. That's. I would think you would want to do that. Now, that, of course, brings up Bear Grylls in Man vs. Wild. And I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times, but he does have a camera. And he does something that's similar, you know, the same type of show. And it's come out that he's been staying in hotels and getting massages from Thai hookers or whatever. I don't know what the deal is, but have you talked to him? What's the story on that?
No, I've never met the man. I don't produce the show. I've got nothing to do with the show. I can't comment on the making of the show. But it's like I've said, I've been doing what I've been doing for about 6 years now, and it's been on air that long. And the way I presented it and created it was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I got to do this for real. I got to go out there and actually survive. That's the only way you can present a true survival situation is to do it. You know, the way I've done it, I think, is as close as you can get to actually going through the psychology of survival. And you know, I can't be staying in hotels and stuff like that. Otherwise, at that point, I'm just you know, showing little stunts.
So, what you're saying here today is that Bear Grylls is a pussy.
Your words, not mine.
Okay. Les, it's interesting that you brought that up about your background with teaching survival. How hard is it, and how much is involved in teaching the mental skills that are needed in a situation like this, beyond just knowing physically how to get by?
You can sort of teach them by giving the skills, because once you get the skills, you get the confidence, and that increases the mental ability. But in the end, somebody asked me yesterday, said, you know, is everybody born with the instinct? And I got to admit, I think the answer is no. Not everybody has the instinct to survive. That's why we have stories of tragedies, people perishing.
Yeah.
So teaching the instinct, it's difficult, but if you teach a lot of skills, you create the confidence. Confidence helps to add to the instincts and
that's
will
a great
to
answer. That's a great answer. And Kevin and I have said so many times when we've come in and we've talked about something that we've seen you do, we've said, you know what? When I get to that point, I just basically say goodbye.
I'm just out. Basically
lay down in the sand and just wait for sweet death. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Curl up in the fetal position under a tree somewhere.
Well, I mean, here's one more clip, and I know we're running out of time, but this is a clip of you talking about what your night was like last night.
I'm not sure what was worse, the moths trying to land on me all night long. Moths were trying to land on my face. Or something I forgot to mention. Vampire bats. There are bats here that they land on you at night and you can't even feel them. Their teeth are so sharp and their saliva numbs you so that they can suck your blood, and people get bitten in the nose and on the toes and places like that. And they were checking me out last night.
Their teeth are so sharp and their saliva deadens it so you don't even know they're sucking your blood? Dude!
Did I fail that? Are you sure that's me?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Sometimes I watch these back after the fact and say, look as dumbfounded as, and just go, man, was that really me? Did I do that?
Do you remember where that was?
Yeah, that was the Amazon jungle.
Amazon. Don't go to Amazon.
I got chased out of there by a 250-pound jaguar at the end of the show.
let me put this in perspective for everybody, Les. Lisa May, who is you know, on the show with us right here, she throws a tantrum if there's no coffee filter in the kitchen, okay? That's the difference between her work and your work.
And you're getting chased by jaguars.
Unbelievable.
So do I. As soon as you get me in civilization, I'm going to throw the same tantrum.
Oh, well, I would imagine you would.
Well, listen, you can see Les... he is the Survivor Man. Season 2 starts tonight at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. Tonight looks like a fantastic episode in the scorching red sands of the Kalahari Desert. Again, he's there for a week. They give him 4 days worth of water. You got to see how that one turns out. And then every Friday night at 9 on Discovery. Les, we love catching up with you, man. Thanks for being a guest again on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, man, it's always my pleasure. I'm going to be down in L.A. in about a month or so, and I'll pop into the station and see you.
We'd love to have you in. Thank you.
All right, man.
Bye now. Can't wait to go see 3/4 of that band tomorrow night. Along with Zach.
Yeah.
Rock the Bells. Looking forward to that. 8:30 now on K-Rock.
Hey, are you you're reuniting with the Wu-Tang Clan, I understand. They're bringing you up on stage. You're gonna get back together with the band again?
You know.
All right. Congratulations. Listen, it's Friday morning. That means it's time for the Movie Beat coming up later this hour. Our friend Mr. Movie Phone fills in for Ralph Garman in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that if you want to hear a review of Rush Hour 3 from someone who's actually seen it. First, though, Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours per day. You call, leave a message for us to play on the air.
Here's a joke.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. What's hit more balls than Barry Bonds?
What's hit more balls than Barry Bonds?
Play Aiken's chin.
I was thinking Psycho Mike's chin, but same joke.
Same joke, yeah.
Here's a guy who's just driving down the road, just happy with where he is.
Hey, guys. You'd like to know I'm on Beaver Street. That's right. Beaver Street.
Dude, I wonder if there's a Beaver Street in Bangkok. Would that be the coolest?
You can also text to landline. Somebody likes doing this a lot, so thank you for this message.
Has sent a text to landline message to you at no charge to you. He's a homo.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. This falls into the category of please don't feel like you have to tell us everything in great detail.
You ever catch yourself driving on the freeway and your ass really, really itches? So you got to kind of, you know, maneuver with your knee and then you start scratching your ass. And not just pseudo scratching your ass. The one that you just put your hand all the way in there and just start scratching your ass, you know, really well. And you're going at it and so forth. And your cell phone rings. This is the part that really sucks. And you answer the cell phone, you're having a conversation. And then you happen to smell those fingers that were just scratching your kidney. Yeah. Not too good. Not too good at all. Especially right after you're done running 4 miles and coming back from the gym. I don't recommend that.
I don't know who I'm madder at. The guy who called and left that, or the guy who sent in the tape for us to play, or you, Kevin, the guy who decided to play it.
I had this conversation in my head. Should I play that one? It's pretty gross. I have a conversation in my head.
Should I play that?
It's really gross. And then the answer was yes, because Bean will hate it so much.
I do. I hate it so much.
Right when Kevin first started to play that Afro call, we both take off our headphones and he motions to me because he's like, Bean's going to hate this.
Well, mission mother effing accomplished.
So that's the reason. The internet sensation Chocolate Rain we've been talking about for a couple days. Let's hear a little of that.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
That's the great Tay Zonde with the most repetitive song ever recorded, but unfortunately you hear it once, you can't get it out of your head.
Yeah, you can search for it on YouTube. Just look under Chocolate Rain. There are a few copies. Apparently, Darth Vader does a version of it. There are a bunch of different versions, and the K-Rock listeners are on board as well.
Chocolate rain. Psycho Mike, he likes the man vain. Chocolate rain. That's all I got.
Yeah, it's not much of a song.
It's not bad, though.
Not too bad.
Good start.
Remember the K-Rock listener that we know who falls to the ground literally, physically, when she hears the word moist?
Her name is Nicole.
Nicole.
Moist, moist, moist. Moist, 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 moist.
Sorry, Nicole. The other one I wanted to drive Bean crazy with, that one I wanted to drive you crazy with. And finally, an ode to Lisa May.
Lisa May wants to sit on my beer. Lisa May, I'll stick it right inside her ear. Lisa May does the traffic on K-Rock.
Nice.
Lisa May wants to suck my giant.
All right, that's enough.
Come on.
For God's sakes, what the hell?
All right, it's 8:43. By the way, we were talking about Chocolate Rain a few minutes ago. There are so many versions, over 4,000 versions up on YouTube right now of Chocolate Rain. And we're going to give you some highlights of some of our favorites coming up just after 9 o'clock. So stick around for that. First, though, Friday morning means it's time for the Movie Beat. Ralph Garman is out, quote unquote, sick today, which translates around here as in Vegas today. But we're lucky that we got a terrific backup, Mr. Movie Phone from moviephone.com. Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Hi, Russ.
Good. We like to go a different direction. Usually Ralph doesn't see the movies.
Yeah.
So then every once in a while when he's sick or he's on vacation away, we like to go a different direction and talk to somebody who has seen the movies.
It really shakes things up, doesn't it?
It does. It's very different.
How many movies do you see in an average week, Mr. Movie Phone?
I probably see 4 or 5 movies. The good ones, all of them. The bad ones, at least 10, 15 minutes of them.
How about that? Well, it seems like every week of this summer there's been a bunch of new ones, and today's no exception. You got some star power. You got some movies that are getting great reviews. You got some little movies worth seeking out. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, you know what? It's been an amazing summer, really. And Kevin, you're going to like this. It's the summer of suckwolves, as I've been referring to.
Yes, it is.
Right? Because why? Because we've had a ton of movies, and a lot of these sequels have been bad. But then comes the Bourne Ultimatum.
Which was great.
Which was fantastic. We're all going, oh, there's some redemption. And then we head into this week's new movies.
Well, for people who haven't seen The Bourne Ultimatum yet, maybe they should see that
week. Definitely. If you haven't seen that, go check it out. In fact, I went and checked it out twice, and same thing happens the second time, but it still is good.
Really? It didn't change?
Yeah, it's funny. Right. Let's start with, let's talk about a little Rush Hour 3.
Okay.
All right, Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker, they're back in this new movie. Now, this time, the stereotypical oddball buddy cops, they head to Paris to stop a global criminal conspiracy. Let's hear the clip.
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
I have told you.
Are you deaf?
No, you is blind.
I'm not blind, you blind.
That is what I just said.
You just said what?
I did not say what. I said you.
That's what I'm asking you.
And you is answering.
Shut up. You.
Yes?
Not you, him. What's your name?
Me.
Yes, you.
I am me. He's me. And I'm you.
And I'm about to whoop your old ass. Aww.
So three movies together, they still can't understand one another. That's what you're saying?
Can you imagine 2 hours of that?
I can't imagine anybody that would do a play on that old bit.
It is unbelievable. You know what? The movie, it's just like you think it is. It's tired. It's lame. And Chris Tucker reportedly paid $20 million for this movie.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It seems to me he should have to give about $19,950,000 back.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Movie Fun. I know we don't have a lot of time, but Chris Tucker has the most bizarre career. He literally has never made another movie since the first Rush Hour, except for Rush Hour sequels. Did he retire?
Well, I mean, $20 million a movie. Why not? It's been 6 years, I think, since the last one. And here's the thing: this movie will make $100 million, $200 million worldwide. They wouldn't make any money without Chris Tucker, so pay him the $20 million, and man, that's a career we should all aspire to.
You think it'll be that successful?
Yeah, I do, because people will go and see it. The screening I was in, there was uproarious laughter. Now, the audience was a little questionable, but people are going to go see it, and worldwide, they love these guys. I mean, they're huge.
Sure. Yeah, that's true, yeah. All right, so Rush Hour 3, that's today. What else you got?
Yeah, here's a weird movie, and you guys might think I'm a little gay, but it's a movie called Stardust, and I really love it.
Stardust?
Have you heard about this?
No, I have not. I'm sure Bean has, but I have not heard it.
Bean, how dare they talk to you like that?
What is it?
No, it's an adult fantasy. Now, it's not that kind of adult fantasy. You got this man, he's going into this young boy, he goes into this magical world. He's in search of a falling star that's going to win him the heart of his love. Now, if you've seen the commercials for this, there are all kinds of zany characters. You got Sienna Miller. You got Robert De Niro as a swishy swashbuckler. Phone's ringing. Hello and welcome to Movie Phone. I don't know what that was.
It's a bell.
Okay, no more description of this movie because it's hard to explain. But it stars Ricky Gervais. We love him. You do have Sienna Miller.
She's hot.
And Claire Danes.
Wow.
She plays the star in this movie. It's a weird movie, you guys. It is an adult fantasy. But let me say this. I think it's probably the most original movie of the summer. I think it's one of those movies that you take your parents to. You take your dad, your mom too, and you're just guaranteed a really good time at the movie. So it's a no harm, no foul. It's different than every other movie in theaters. And the fact is, we have to support movies like this, or we get Rush Hour 17.
Yeah,
I want to go. That sounds great.
When I started seeing the trailers for this Stardust movie, the first thing I thought is, although this one looks fun and light in contrast to say Pan's Labyrinth, which was so dark, but it was that wildly inventive kind of takes you to another world, and if you buy into it seems like a really, really enjoyable ride.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I really was riveted the entire movie, And how often can you say that there's a good movie that's interesting, riveting, and you can take some of your family to and have a good time?
I can't believe you liked Rush Hour 3 that much. That's really great.
No, Stardust.
Oh,
Stardust.
Let's talk
about Stardust.
I'm sorry.
Right. And what's next?
Well, let's go ahead and put the nail in the coffin of our summer of suckles, shall we?
Okay.
First Daddy Daycare, now Daddy Day Camp.
Oh, dear God.
Come on.
Look, any movie that's so bad that Eddie Murphy won't do it, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, when Eddie takes a pass, that's a problem. Well, here's the thing. First it was daycare, now it's a day camp. It's an effort to keep the camp going, and you have Cuba Gooding Jr. in the movie.
Right.
And he sort of gets his dad, his military father dad, to try to whip the kids in the camp into shape. Now, this movie, here's the thing. While we're taking money back from Chris Tucker for his movie, let's take Cuba's Oscar back.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
He's really followed up that Oscar win with pretty much nothing.
It's hard to believe, and you don't win an Oscar by not being a decent actor, but is it a bad agent? Does he make bad choices? What is going on with his career? But this movie is just a big old giant turd. It's probably the worst movie of the weekend.
Wow.
Wait, you would rather see Rush Hour 3 than Daddy Day Camp?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
No doubt about it.
All right, I have a clip for this one. This is Daddy Day Camp.
What's his problem?
The offer's going to blow.
What?
Wow. What else could go wrong?
No, please.
See, because a lot of stuff's going wrong at that
wow.
camp.
Wow.
I'll tell you, there's guys throwing up and buildings blowing up.
You know what? And here's the trouble. There are going to be a bunch of people go see this movie, and they're going to take their kids to see this movie. And it's really, honest to God, it's nothing but poo humor from beginning to end. So if you like yourself the poo humor, then go check it out. Otherwise, you know, don't take the little kids, but take the rest of the family to go see, you know, the star movie.
Stardust.
Okay.
Stardust, okay. Mm-hmm.
How do you, right. Mr. Movie Phone, not know the name of that movie?
You know, I have my hippie assistant making faces at me over
it's
here.
The it's the really one painful. That you're recommending, and you don't know the name of it.
I love Stardust, and I love Claire Danes.
All right.
Well, so call 777-FILM and find out where anything other than Rush Hour 3 or Daddy Daycamp is playing. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, also, I should mention that Rosario Dawson is in a movie this weekend. It's called Descent. It's rated NC-17. Here's the description. A college co-ed is brutally raped and struggles alone to rebuild her life.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, don't do that to my Rosario. That's horrible.
You know what?
What a downer.
I wanted to end on a low note.
That's good. Well, you did that.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Movie.
Thanks,
Mr. Movie.
Bye.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
Not here, though. We got to wait. I guess we got to wait till after 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph is out. It's time for the Showbiz Beat, where we've been following all the celebrity news. We should have had this conference off-air, Kevin, but we didn't have time, so I'm just going to have to ask you on the air. Do we do the story that Dave dug up on the internet yesterday, or is it too tragic and too sad to mention?
I say, here's how I come down on those kinds of questions. Okay, always good. Do it.
Really? No matter what?
Just always just say it.
All right. Let me preface this entertainment story, which we have not reported on yet today, as saying that it comes from a source that I am not familiar with. L.A. Rag Mag is the name of the source. L.A. Rag Mag. And Dave, of course, who's, you know, DNN, he keeps track of all celebrities all over the internet. He finds everything, right?
But we can choose to not report, to not believe it. I mean, we could say what the rumor is and just say that's ridiculous.
All right. So all I'm going to go on record as saying, in case Jessica Alba's attorneys are listening, is this is what has been reported. And we certainly don't have any reason to suspect that it's true. But this is what has been reported. This is what the story says. And I'm just going to read it to you right the way it came out. And if you love Jessica Alba like I do, you're going to want to listen to this.
And you're going to not believe it. But go ahead.
From L.A. Rag Mag is the article. We're going to apologize in advance to all the straight men out there for ruining their Jessica Alba fantasies. But here goes. Jessica Alba, before she was Jessica Alba, used to date Derek Jeter, the serial celebrity dater who plays for the New York Yankees. Well, our source worked for Cash Warren, her ex, and had to refill her Valtrex prescription for her on a regular basis. Guess who she got it from? That's right, Derek Jeter. You know what that means, don't you? Again, quoting from the article, all of his other famous relationships could have contracted the STD. Also, Derek's most famous sexual conquests include Mariah Carey, Jessica Alba, Vanessa Manillo, and most recently, Jessica Biel.
Oh! That dude's got the life, doesn't he?
He sure does. He sure the hell does.
You know, it makes sense that at least some of these people do, because the percentage of the population that has it is so high.
It is staggeringly high. Yeah. But she does.
It is. I mean,
Jessica Alba doesn't. That's stupid.
Well, she clearly doesn't, because she's too clean, right? But I mean, for folks who don't recognize the prescription name of Valtrex, that's a popular medicine that is prescribed to herpes sufferers. And as Lisa points out, it's something north of 40% now,
yes,
or some crazy number like that of the population. So
I'm pretty sure I gave it to Jessica Alba.
The article goes on to say, ladies, stop sleeping with Derek Jeter.
Which
I think is pretty. Don't forget, Paris Hilton famously turned up with the Valtrex prescription in her locker, too, remember.
Yeah. Do you, knowing that, let's say you get conclusive proof that Jessica Alba.
First,
go ahead and get herpes, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You sure do. You just say it's worth it.
Like, I don't think the HIV would stop me.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the story from L.A. Rag Mag. I have not – the only thing I'll say, again, and it's probably not true because it's Jessica Alba and she's perfect, but the only thing I'll say is that I haven't seen this story picked up by other sites, which leads me to wonder about the credibility of it, because usually something like this gets broken by any source. If it turns out to be reliable, then you see it show up on the other site.
Right, but if it's not reliable, then we report on it.
That's pretty much the standard, yes.
But we decide to not believe it, so that's the way we're going. So Scary Spice was on Larry King, and, you know, she's the one who has Eddie Murphy's kid.
She is a Spice Girl.
Apparently she told Larry that they have tattoos of each other's names, proving that they were very much in love and wanted to have a family together. You don't tattoo someone's name on your body if it's a brief and unimportant relationship. Let's put it that way.
So she's suggesting that although it may look on the surface like a big a rebound from the breakup with Eddie Murphy, this is somebody she's actually serious about and plans to stay married to.
Yeah, but they're not together. Scary Spice.
Oh, you're saying she and Eddie Murphy had tattoos.
That's what she said.
Sure didn't follow that from the way you described it. All right, I got you now.
Scary Spice told Larry King that she and Eddie had each other's names tattooed on there.
Good call.
That's what she said. And she's asking for a $9 million house. Because she's got to live, people.
She has more money than he does, probably.
She does.
It's a $9 million mega mansion that she's asking for.
That's crazy.
Wow. By the way, I know we were all surprised when she got married in Las Vegas. $59 for the wedding, by the way. And I didn't know until this morning that it was a drive-through ceremony. How much? I mean, who gets married in a drive-through?
I think we need to have that topic because I'm guessing a lot of people. I mean,
what's the advantage of that, though?
Well, you're in a rush, dude. You got places to go.
I know, but how hard is it to park, get out, and walk in? I mean, how hard is that to do?
We'll do that on a call-in topic someday soon because Well, you got married in Vegas. I mean, that's.
I did, but not in a drive-through.
I would have if I could have.
Yeah, of course you
would. If my wife was open to doing that, I would have done that in a second.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you get fries with that if you drive through with a wedding, I wonder? And I want to mention this casting call again. I know we have a lot of young Hollywood listing people trying to get into the acting biz. Maybe here's a role for you. If you are a big, fat, black guy and can rap, they are casting a film about the life of Biggie. The Notorious B.I.G. movie is coming soon. It will be called Notorious. And there is an open casting call going on. You can get more information if it sounds like this is the role of a lifetime for you. Boy, I bet Big Boy is so pissed now that he lost all that weight. BiggieCasting.com. BiggieCasting.com. And they're going to start you can upload videos there at the site, and they're going to start looking at them and making some decisions this week. But that potentially could be a real good movie.
I think the answer to the question is Tay Zonday.
Tay Zonday from Chocolate Rain is a great idea. And let me close with one more. We haven't had time for this one today. I'm not a big Kate Hudson fan. It doesn't seem to me like she's that great an actress, but they still keep putting her in movies. I mean, it seems like every 2 months she gets a new movie that comes out. However, I have new respect for her because she did an interview with the London Sun. Of course, she is recently divorced from her husband, the singer for the Black Rose. And she says that she believes that men aren't supposed to be with just one woman. And if ladies would spend more time understanding their male counterparts than trying to change them, then we'd all be a heck of a lot better off.
How about that?
Yeah. I wish she gets that from her mom because you know that Kirk Douglas and Goldie Hawn never got married. And there's always been sort of a story that Goldie Hawn kind of has the attitude of what I don't know is fine. You know, do whatever you do, wherever you do it, but not here.
That's probably where she got it from.
Yeah.
I didn't even know she was living with Kirk Douglas. That's a surprise to me, Lisa. I got to be honest.
Did I say Kirk Douglas?
Well, you did.
You did.
Kurt Russell.
I don't think that's who you meant. But yeah, but I'm now a big Kate Hudson fan. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthday is kind of slim. Rosanna Arquette, who I guess from time to time you'll see, she'll show up on TV and cable. Used to be a pretty big movie star. She's 48 years old today.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, I got this cough. Droopy boobs.
Michael Bivins from New Edition and Belle Biv DeVoe is 39 years old today. And Antonio Banderas, who seriously, the fact that he has survived to age 47, the fact that he doesn't wake up every goddamn morning, look over and see Melanie Griffith in the bed next to him and take a cyanide tablet, he's a stronger man than I am. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
This really is the best deal on radio. You make one phone call, entertain us for 45 seconds, and you get a great prize. And today, 50 free songs on iTunes from our friends at Apple. You know, there's always something new on iTunes. Keep listening for updates on all the new releases. That's how I find out every week what's coming out on Tuesdays, is checking out with the iTunes. So 50 free songs for getting on the air, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Michelle. She's in Burbank. Apparently, she wants to weigh in on the Mexican-Armenian race war that's going on right now.
There's no race war that's going on.
I understand there is. That's what I hear.
It's Mike and Sam. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Michelle? Hi.
You know, even though Psycho Mike and the Armenian comedian are joking, it really is true. Because I went to Burbank High, and there is a fight at least once a week between them.
Between Hispanics and Armenians?
And Armenians. They don't like each other. And what they're both, the songs that they're both saying, you know, they're both true. So, the Armenians do wear clones. The Mexicans do mow.
Well, I mean, I think we know that.
Hard to argue with that.
They do mow.
You know how those Mexicans are, man. They sure mow.
They mow like a mother effer.
Okay, listen up, Mexicans.
And it is true. I mean, they wear their hair slick. They like their Sean John.
Right. Listen, we understand.
Okay, let me just ask you this question, Michelle. I'm glad you called to tell us about it. But do you think that Mike and Sam's songs are making things better for both communities, or do you think they're just fanning the flames of racial hatred?
I think it's the same, because the Mexicans know that they mow, the Armenians know that they smell. It's all good.
All right, well, say no more. Thank you, Michelle.
Wow, well spoken, Michelle. Thank you.
By the way, to whoever is answering the phones, you can disconnect line four. We'll never speak with that person on the air. Let's go to Marty in San Pedro on Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew. Good morning, Marty. You're on the air.
Nephew and baby boo, Lisa May. Wait. My God, the hottest. last night, let me start by, I'm not a rap person. I don't enjoy that music too much.
Right.
But I went to go see Public Enemy last night on the Kimmel Show because historically, they've done so much for the genre.
Right.
And I got to tell you, Flava Flav is the man. He's the hardest rocking front man out of any band I've seen in the longest time.
One time for your man. Everybody up in the house, one time. Let me hear you say Flavor Flav.
He sure gets out there and shakes that clock, doesn't he?
Oh, he's got that clock. Have you guys seen my alarm clock with Flavor Flav with the clock around his neck?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. And he says, you know, F the police and all kinds of other stuff. So he's actually playing tomorrow at the Rock the Bells.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, there's the Flavor Flav roast on Comedy Central.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a Flavor Flav weekend.
Hey, Marty, I know Public Enemy just had a brand new CD come out. Did they do one of the songs from the new album?
Absolutely. Harder Than You Think. The new single is rocking. You guys, I hope you guys get it on the playlist there at K-Rock.
Okay. We'll check it out. Thank you very much for the call. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is cool. Thank you. All right, let's go to Dave in Alhambra. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, my God. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take these goddamn sneaky Canadians anymore.
You're mad at Canadians?
Of course.
What are they doing?
Imperialist expansionists. That's what they are.
That's what they are? Wow, I never saw them that way.
Oh, my God. Anyway, there's a little strait because of global warming. This little strait waterway in between Alaska and Washington up there someplace has opened up. And we're claiming, okay, well, we'll share the waterway because it's not really important to anybody. But they're sending their warships to protect the little waterway up there. Come on, give me a break. That's really
awesome.
A little too aggressive for me. I'm really getting nervous, and I think we should make a preemptive strike. You know,
against Canada. Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's,
sure. Why not?
Sure. That's how we roll.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse. Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
With all their beady little eyes and clapping heads so full of lies.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
We need to form a full assault.
It's time to fall.
Remember when that was up for an Oscar?
I sure the hell do. And Robin Williams sang it on the Academy Awards telecast? I do. Here's what I love about Dave and why he's the perfect American. He doesn't really know much about that story, that territorial dispute, but he's convinced that America is right and should preemptively bomb Canada just to make sure that the word is out.
I agree with him. We need to, and George Bush has gone a long way to do this. We need for people not to trust us, not to know what we're going to do. Like, we're crazy.
Like Korea.
That's a good idea. Like, if you go into prison, for example, you have to act crazy so people won't mess with you.
Right.
So we might strike anywhere at any time. That's our thing.
Absolutely no reason.
We'll take Canada down like that just for being there.
Let's talk to Elizabeth in Orange. I think she has a call for the very sweet Lisa May. Elizabeth, what it do, nephew?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Elizabeth.
What's going on?
Hi.
I actually wanted to call because over across the street from South Coast Plaza, there's a movie theater. On Wednesday nights, they play cult classic movies. And about a month and a half ago, I went to go see Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At home, I tried watching it, and I'm like, what is everyone talking about how great this movie is? I don't get it. Went, saw it in the movie theater. Awesome. Amazing.
This
Wednesday, dazed and confused is going to be in the movie theater.
Well, the difference is Reservoir Dogs, an awesome, amazing movie.
Oh,
dazed and confused, no.
But what Elizabeth
not.
Is suggesting is that if you watch it on the big screen with a lot of other people that enjoy it.
I don't think if you make crap bigger, it's
how
better.
How dare you?
Oh. I just don't. I'd
be willing to pay a $6 ticket for you.
Wow.
Well, that is generous, Elizabeth.
Look at that.
But no.
Thank you for the
Elizabeth,
call.
Do you see what we have to work with? Do you understand the pressure we're under working with somebody like Lisa May? It's tough in here.
Look, you guys played me all the clips. It's not like I've heard all the parts where I'm supposed to laugh. I knew that going in.
You're just wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every level.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do we have time to close with Rachel? Because this is a fantastic story and I wish it happened to me.
Rachel, good morning.
Good morning. What's up? I woke up yesterday.
Yeah.
And to find a 24-year-old girl sleeping on my couch.
Yay!
Do you
That's
know?
Fantastic.
Do you know who it is?
I had no idea who this person was. She apparently wandered into my house drunk last night, like the night before.
Right.
I call the cops. I call the cops, and they tell me that I'm supposed to, like, since I live near clubs, it's supposed to happen.
So they said, it doesn't surprise us, you live near a club.
Yeah, and they're not going to press, like, they talked me out of pressing charges because she had a clean record.
What charges were you going to press?
Breaking and entering. She broke into my house.
Sleeping on your couch?
Well, how locked up was your house if a drunk girl got in?
Well, I left the back door open, but I mean, she wandered well, then, into
that's
my
just
house.
Walking and entering.
What?
That's no breaking.
Was she hot?
She thought it was her friend's house. She kept asking for some girl named Jillian.
Right, but was she hot?
She was okay. She had nice eyes.
Alex?
Well, Rachel.
Well, then don't call the police.
Yeah, call me next time, all right? I'll take care of that problem for you.
All right.
Chick sleeping on your couch.
Remember
Fantastic.
When Robert Downey Jr. did that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
totally
right.
Went into some stranger's house?
Yep.
Good Rachel, I guess in our minds, when we saw that a girl broke into your house and passed out, we were picturing this was going to be the scene.
You don't have to sleep on that couch.
Oh, it's okay. No, it's not. This is a huge bed. Come on, just get in and get a good night's sleep.
That's what you would have done if you were a real American, Rachel.
Exactly. Instead of one of those goddamn Canadians. All right, thank you very much for the call.
Thank God we're attacking.
And you know? Thanks to all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Lisa May's new boyfriend, Jason Chambers. He is the human weapon. You can see him with an all-new show tonight at 10 o'clock on the History Channel. Also, thanks to comedian Daryl Hammond for joining us. Very funny with the impressions and the comedy. Catch him on stage for two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. You can call 949-854-5455. Tickets just $30 to see the great Daryl Hammond, and that's down at the Irvine Spectrum. And thanks to Les Stroud. He is Survivor Man, and that's coming back with an all-new season starting tonight at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. How great does that episode sound? Drop him in the middle of a desert for a week with 4 days water.
It's only 140 degrees. What's,
sure.
What could be hard
What's
with
the
that?
Big?
Yeah. I'd like to thank everybody that responded to the friendsandhelpers.org thing that we were talking about with Flea, the back-to-school thing, because we got so much interest and so many people donated stuff, and we're going to be having a drop-off at Galpin Auto Sports this Sunday. From 1 to 3, this Sunday from 1 to 3, that's just off the 405 at Roscoe, across from Galpin Ford. Bo Bachman from Galpin always has been a big supporter, so our back-to-school program is underway. I know that I told you the link was at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, when Flea was here, and that was a lie.
Ooh.
I was lying to you then. I know that, but it is up now. So if you want to go to KROQ to the Kevin and Bean page, you can find that that link.
Okay.
I was impressed with how many of our listeners went to find the link and didn't just give up when it wasn't there, actually then sat down and wrote to us and said, hey, I really want to contribute. Can you hook me up? So it is up there now. If you go to the Kevin and Bean page, it's the very, very top link, and you can find out more information about the program to try to put backpacks on the backs of needy and abused kids as they head back to school in L.A. this year.
Let's see. On Monday morning's show, we are going to give you details about the KROQ L.A. invasion. Used to be known by another name. It has changed gigantically. We'll give you all the details on Monday morning here on the world famous KROQ. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want to get high?
No.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Smoke weed.
Just
Matt Corbett is coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Bring the Light. It's new music from Smashing Pumpkins. Also, Rancid on the way. We got Incubus, Modest Mouse, Pearl Jam, new Foo Fighters, and more on K-Rock.
Munchies.
Who wants some munchies?
Another cent.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just prancing around.
Come on, dude. Just take one hit. Don't you want to be cool?
Cut, print, gay.
Bye. Okay, bye. Bye. Okay, bye.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the toughs get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Thank you for listening. May God bless our troops.
See you guys. Seacrest out. Bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.